Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, December 27th, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening to us live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight we're going to read some scriptures on the incarnation of the Sovereign of the Universe. We missed last week. I know I was so involved in doing so many things, getting the site. The site went down last week, and we had some problems. And I was just working on it. We're working on it all weekend, as a matter of fact, and all through the week. But I think things are pretty much up. Anyway, let's pick up on our scripture reading, and then we'll return to Luke next Monday. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is going to be out of a couple of the books of the Bible. Two groups of verses in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. First one is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadows of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations, and not increased the joy. They joy before their according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever forever. The zeal of the Lord of the host will perform this." In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with the child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us." Okay, just close down a few things here. Okay, like I mentioned, we had some problems with our site. We've been having problems all week with our site. Actually, it's been going back further than we realize. And there's a lot of videos that have been missing on our website because of problems with YouTube. They've been shutting down a lot of our videos, and even videos that we have put into our website that other people have brought up. A lot of those videos have been disconnected and removed from the Internet. We did move over to, goodness, what is the name of that? I always keep forgetting the name. Rumble. So we do have a Rumble page. If you wanted to visit our site, I believe we have a link on our page here somewhere. But in any event, there it is. Subscribe to our Rumble channel. You can click on that, and you can come to our page. Now, we've loaded a lot of videos up here. I just uploaded a whole bunch of JFK videos that we had once on our website, and they had been down for a while, I believe. But just real quickly, we also took the time to reorganize our website, and I think it was almost a blessing in disguise that really what happened. And again, we don't know what happened. Again, the site was a mess. But it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because as I was going through things, over the years we've been putting things up, putting new pages, and kind of trying to figure out, well, we'll put this under this category and that under that category. And I think over time it just got kind of confusing. I think a lot of people had a lot of problems getting around our site, trying to figure out what's where. But now that we've had all of these pages and all this information up here, and in the past week or so, I've been going through, as I mentioned, reorganizing things, setting pages up that are lost, returning things, getting the videos reset back up onto Rumble, and we've left our YouTube. We still have some stuff up on YouTube, but eventually I'm sure all that'll be taken down by them, so we'll just leave them up there. But I don't think we're going to post to YouTube anymore. Just going to post to Rumble and use Rumble as that platform that we can watch our videos from off of our web pages from. But what we did do is a couple of things. We've got some breadcrumb trails here. Starting off with education. Well, let's start off with our front page. I just want to talk about a few of the things we put together here. And I might do a short video on just getting around our website. I got to think about how I might do that. I want to make it as short as possible, maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the most. So I don't want to get too long on anything. But just tonight, the front page of our website has really been totally changed. A lot of the stuff that we had up and things that had been adding on over the years, and we kind of let them fall down below, and we put some more stuff up. Well, we took a lot of that stuff, those things that we felt were important for people to know about or see, and we put them in various other places, and you'll see that as you roam around the website. But to the three of the major things that I think are important, of course, first is our front page. The first things people see, and I've been trying to get up there today to do work on the website, but we still have a connection problem right now with them, and I couldn't get anyone, any of the techs, so hopefully tomorrow people get a tech involved and fix this problem so I can fix this front page. There's sort of a redundancy here on the date for the seminar on 12/18/2021, which should just say seminar government by consent, recorded on 12/18/2021. But anyway, this is the seminar that we had just recently, a couple of weeks ago. It's about 3 hours, I think it's about 3.5-4 hours, 4 hours long. And this seminar really lays out government by consent, what our plan is, what we're doing. So I thought that was an appropriate thing to put right on our front page. It is kind of long, but it should be drawing to the people who really are interested in the type of things we're doing, which is trying to save our republic. Because only the people can save the republic, but we must be an educated, well-informed, and involved people in order to have government by consent. So anyway, as you go down the front page, I think we've got some really good, appropriate videos that kind of give the picture, and we lay out who we are, what we're doing. The power of the grand jury, the line in the sand, saving America in a nutshell, and then joining us, and then just information concerning on how to go about a little bit on finding our website, clicking on different tabs and what you'll find there. Anyway, people should go through the front page and see there's a lot of stuff here, maybe that were in different places, a lot of new stuff, and just a different layout. Now, two tabs that are extremely important that we really want to try to lead people to, and that, of course, is mentioned on the front page as people read through it. We try to get them to understand it's necessary for them to have a proper education and to get involved in the things of our republic. And not just now to save the republic, but forever in order to maintain and keep our republic and to truly have government by consent. If the people really want to have government by consent, they just have to be involved. And as Jefferson put it, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And that has never changed. I mentioned this numerous times. There's only about 200 people in every county, roughly speaking, that control all the political parties. They control all of the paperwork that gets walked out there, designating petitions to get people onto the ballot, whether it's the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left, and so on. So we need about 200 people, and then we will totally take control, not only the political but also the judicial process. And of course, we lay that out in the seminar, and our educational process, and also in getting involved in starting a committee of safety. So the two most important tabs, again, is one is under the education, which starts here. And literally click the tab that says start here, and we try to give some details and information on, you know, how to work through our website for a proper and a full education. And so people are going to want to go through here, peruse through this, and watch some of the videos. These are short videos down here, hopefully to spike up and spark out and kindle your sense of patriotism. Really powerful videos. All of the courses that we have, now these links don't really, I'm not sure whether they actually go anywhere yet at this point. Let's just click on constitutional course. I think that does go, well, it goes to a point where you're taking the course. I got to work these links out as soon as I can get tech on the line. Carl, who helps us with a lot of the technical things, he's been away for about a week. I don't know if he's back yet, but hopefully as soon as he gets back, he'll help me set that up. I know people may have been having problems with the course lately, that they can't proceed and continue on to the next step and so on and so forth. I saw some kind of a communication going forward, and I think it was Jan that responded back, you know, something about taking the course and I guess not spending too much time at it, and not sure exactly what. But in any event, we're going to try to fix the problem so people don't have that problem proceeding forward. So anyway, you go through here, and it's sort of a breadcrumb trail to lead people through the proper education, what it is they should be looking at first, what courses they might want to take first, and lead them through the whole process. Anybody who wants to become a jury administrator, they need to take every course plus the last course, which we're putting up. It's already completed. I'm waiting again to make connection back to the internet, put it up back, not to the internet, but to the website, to the back office, or whatever you want to call that. As soon as I get access, I'll be putting that particular course up. The courses that have to go up and haven't been placed up yet, one is the foundation course. The other is the jury administrator course. Of course, as most people know, we have a constitutional course, which I know was taken down for a while, but it's been put back up. At least I hope it has been. If it hasn't been, we'll be putting that course back up. I kind of took it down because it was really a simple course. But, you know, if we call it an introduction to the founding documents, I think then it's more appropriate. And I thought about it and thought, well, okay, we'll put that course back up there. Government by consent course is a more involved and deeper course into the Constitution. It covers our founding documents much more in depth and is a lot more involved than the other course. But again, all of them really work together. Which, by the way, we have under the education starts here. We have other, you know, further courses, and some of the information that's already inside our courses is also up here. But you have American history. You can go. Got American history lectures, which are really very powerful. Let me just get to that page. American history. You've got James Wood, I believe it is his name. Is it James Wood? Yeah. Thomas Wood, not James Wood. Thomas Wood, he's a professor, and he gives some really, really, really good lectures on American history. We have common law lectures, quite a bit of that. Most of that is Bill Thornton. And we do have a couple of situations with Bill Thornton. You know, some of his perception of common law, I think, is off. We make note of that, I believe, but we do talk about that from time to time. But generally speaking, it's a lot of great stuff, a lot of good insight and information, and a lot of truth. Christianity in America, very important to understand and appreciate. Introduction to the Constitution we have here. Which is pretty powerful, I think, the introduction to the Constitution. This is done by Bodnarik. Michael Bodnarik, I was trying to think of his first name. First video here is not done by him. It's the American form of government. I think that was put out by Griffin, as a matter of fact. I'm not too sure. But Bodnarik gives a good introduction to the Constitution. You can go through this course. And he gives some good focuses on the Bill of Rights, each one of the amendments, and so on. anyway, good stuff. And again, a lot of this stuff is inside of our course, but then on these pages there are a lot of things that are not inside the course. We have a Harmony of the Gospels, the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, and those, both of those, we have those in audio. So you can go to that page. When you get to the page, you can open up. Let me just go to one of the pages. Let's go to the Federalist Pages. You can open up the PDF, okay, and read through the Federalist Papers along with the audio. You know, you can click on any of the audio, and that'll start you through the process, so you can read along with that.
All LibriVox.
Let's see, where are we? Okay, let's get rid of that. We also had the same thing, as I mentioned, on the Federalist Papers. There was American history, okay. And Anti-Federalist Papers, we have founding documents, we have biographies, state constitutions, the 5,000-year leap, great book. If people haven't read that book, you need to read that book. We do have that downloadable right here on that page by permission. So you can download the book and also... you can read it in PDF, as you can also listen to the reading of that. I think it's the same people that do the reading in the Anti-Federalist Papers and the Federalist Papers, if I recall. Let's see, what else do we have here? We have articles and essays, lots of articles and essays in here. We got Trial by Jury, which also is audio and PDF. You can follow along in reading. But articles and essays, we have a lot of the information on this page here. You can peruse through this and read a tremendous amount of information on all kinds of different articles concerning our republic, ultimately, of course. We have the law, Continental Congress 2009, for people who aren't familiar with that. This page here was totally destroyed. Let me take a real quick look. Yeah, it's under renovation right now. We're putting some stuff up here. We're putting a lot of videos up here. All of this is mostly videos. I believe we had some PDFs up here. I just haven't had time to get to this page yet. And I think we may even have more videos. And actually what was up there before, so we'll probably put every video we have concerning the road to Continental Congress 2009. Anybody who wasn't around during the time following along or maybe not aware of what took place, it's a great story, and it's the Continental Congress, the third Continental Congress that met back in 2009. And, of course, you know, the powers that be, all the governments, every state government, the federal government, of course, just ignored the process and the conclusions and the orders which were given with the Articles of, I think it's called the Articles of Freedom. We do have a copy of those Articles of Freedom. It's, I think, 62 or 63 pages, something like that. I remember when it was released on Christmas Eve, as a matter of fact, back in 2009. And I remember looking for it and reading it Christmas Eve. It was a pretty powerful document. It's not necessarily a common law document. The people that came together had had a lot of good ideas and things that they brought together, but they did lack common law knowledge. As a matter of fact, we may do a paper kind of alongside of that. I'll think about that. We'll do a paper maybe alongside of that to bring that common law into the process. and make some corrections in different ways that things could happen or should be going about. We have memorandums of law. We have law dictionaries. Anybody needs a law dictionary? You got the Black's Law, second and fourth edition, and we got Bouvier's Law, very powerful law dictionaries. Anybody that's studying common law or looking to get into the courts, good stuff for that. Government by Consent book. It's a link to purchasing the book or purchasing the book for your sheriff. And I mentioned this last week, and I've been sending out some emails that everyone hopefully should know that there was one of our members who was offered a book-for-book purchase on books going to sheriffs. So any book that is purchased for a sheriff or purchased at all, I believe, between the 15th of December and the 15th of January, if we can sell 100 books, they're going to put up $5,000 to buy 100 books. And that'll be a good boost to not only National Liberty Alliance, but also to the our sheriffs, which is the whole purpose of that process, is getting our sheriffs educated, informed, understanding the common law, and becoming true law officers. Topical studies, lots of studies. Gerard, you were looking for spontaneous order. It's right here under topical studies in the educational area. Very powerful. Anybody hasn't watched this yet, this spontaneous order page, there's a couple of videos up here. One of them is really, really good. It's called The Road to Nowhere. Road to Nowhere or something. Let me see. The Tradition of Spontaneous Order. It's written as a PDF. You can read about it. It's 47 pages, really kind of a study on the process. John Stossel does a thing on spontaneous order. And this traffic control, The Road to Nowhere. Very, very powerful, extremely powerful. Anybody who hasn't seen these two videos should definitely watch the videos and definitely read the paper here on spontaneous order. It's a PDF paper. So anyway, we have a lot of different, we have all of, well, I can't say we have all of them. Looking around, we may be missing a few documentaries from Edward Griffin. But we do have a lot of documentaries here. This first video here, I put it first for a reason, because it's the missing link to understanding what the heck has been going on around here. How has our government got to where it's at, and why was it, especially if you don't understand and you're really starting to learn, you know, why is the government where it's at? Well, this 48 or 40 or 50 minute video is pretty powerful, this is Norman Dodd. He was lead investigator in the Reese Committee on Un-American Activities within our government. And it's a very powerful interview, and it kind of is, it gives the missing link on a really good framework in order to watch the rest of the videos to kind of fit in here to see how things go. But again, Griffin has done a great work. He's been doing this, I think his first video out there was like in 1959 or something. I think we have that up here, I think we have most of his work, if not all. I'll be going through here when I get some time to see if there's any videos that I might have that I didn't get up here, or maybe search the internet. If anybody's aware of any videos by Ed Griffin that we don't have up here, and you know the location of that video, send us a note to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and I'll be able to see that also and search out the missing videos so we get it up here, because he did such a great job. If it wasn't for Griffin, I don't think we'd have the knowledge that we have of what was going on behind the scenes. I mean, he was the pioneer in this whole thing, that to get the message out to the people and document it, and it just flooded the internet as the internet became powerful, you know, as he was going on doing all these different documentaries, and then finally the internet started to really sprout forth, and all of this came public, and people became aware, a lot more people aware. Now, of course, some people were aware, but he really opened up, the word to get out of the problems. So anyway, lots of things under topical. JFK. I don't think I got anything up on. Yeah, well, I started working. I did put up. Well, I guess I. No, I didn't. These are some old videos, and there's a few of them. But I've got about, I don't know, maybe about 30, 25, 30, I don't know, videos that are going to be going up here. I did post them up onto our page on Rumble, and they're ready to be posted up onto our JFK page. I also have a JFK page, a JFK Jr. page that I'll be putting up here. And there was another page that's not up here, and I'm trying to think what it was. I don't remember. There'll be another page that I'm putting up here. And as time goes on, we'll probably put more pages. But anyway, we also have a page on money, very powerful, very important. Poison in our food, air and water, extremely powerful stuff. I think we have more to add up on here, but we got some really good stuff. And it dawned on me that we have enough evidence in these documentaries that are on this particular page that we could file a paper against Monsanto and maybe some other places and even the pharmaceutical companies. What we would do need is some people to work with us on research, maybe to get the documents that are spoken about in these videos. So anybody interested in researching here with us at National Liberty Alliance, just let us know. Get a hold of Jan at nationalliberty.org. Tell him that you're interested in getting involved in that, and he'll connect you with Francine and eventually maybe with me, and we're putting together a group of people to do research in order to write papers for various things. One of the things is to deal with the problems with how they've poisoned our food, our water, and our air, how they've removed our sheriffs. We already got some information, an individual working with us here, one of our members, has gathered a lot of information on sheriffs, particularly in Connecticut, which we're going to do something out in Connecticut because they unlawfully removed the elected sheriff out there. There's seven counties in New York that have removed the sheriffs, and there's a few other states with different that have removed sheriffs. And we need to address that in the federal courts. So we need to be preparing those papers now, getting everything together. So anybody wants to work on these teams and research and other subject matter, you know. you know, just get a hold of us, get a hold of Jan, tell him you're interested, and he'll connect you with the right person. And then we'll get the paper, all the documents together, and we'll write the paperwork and get ready for filing in the courts. We want to, as soon as we get to the other side, so to speak, meaning being that we've captured back our nation, put a lot of people under arrest and starting to clean the courts and everything, that's when we're going to do the filings. And I'd love to be able to file four or five different papers all at the same time. But that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of really research. We have a lot of information, but we need to gather documents. So again, please, anybody that would like to volunteer for that with us and work with us, it's a very important job, and you know, let's work together and see what we can do. See what else we have under here under topicals. Secret congressional meeting, very, very insightful secret meeting that took place. I listened to these MP3s a long time ago, but we do have them up there. They're only audio. We have a page on survival, lots of information, ideas, and thoughts, especially when the hard time comes. I do think we're going to go through a little bit of hard times, but I don't think it's drastic as I originally thought. I also recently put a page up here on intelligent design. This guy, Stephen Myers, really, really interesting guy, and he goes through all of the different theories, the Big Bang theories, the Einstein's theories, the Hawkins, and many, many others. And he shows how they all lead to the same place. It's very, very interesting. I don't want to give you the spoiler on this, but anyway, it leads to the mind. You know, there had to be a mind behind the whole thing. They're all concluding that, and of course, we already knew that. And there is a mind behind all this, and he's also did an interview on uncommon knowledge, and again, pretty powerful. I may find some other videos. Matter of fact, I'm remembering I did download some videos to see if I can't find them a while back, and we may have had them in various places that get into the idea of intelligent design. So anyway, the second tab that's extremely important, these are the two tabs we really want to drive people to. I mean, everything else is information, of course. I mean, we have today's issues. We've got a lot of stuff under that. We have a directory, things particularly for members and people who are involved in different things that are really active, these different pages for information for that, for people who are involved with things. We have our federal court cases in our store. Coming over back over to the second most important link here, and I say second because you can't have the second, which is building a committee of safety, without going through the first, developing the proper mindset in order to exercise the things of the committees of safety. Because we'll be working in the judicial processes, we'll be working in the political realms, and not in the politics, but in the political process. And how government works and how government is to be under the rule of the people and how we, the people, get to say and decide, yay, that's good, but no, that's no good. We get to nullify anything they do, anything they say. If people only understood the power that they have and how to exercise it and how to nullify it, we wouldn't have these problems. And the assault and removal of our republic could never have happened. But we fell asleep. We didn't pay attention. And we've lost our way. But we have to, in order to save our nation, we have to become educated and we have to become active. And so coming active is under the starting of Committee of Safety. We do make the point, I believe in both sides, while you're getting an education, it's important to start building your Committee of Safety. We give you a step-by-step process. You're coming together, you're going to discuss things. And if you start this Committee of Safety, you need to be working on your education because you can't really have a properly run Committee of Safety without a proper education. So the two work together. Excuse me. And I think we make that pretty clear between the two as you come down, sort of following through. Again, start here to organize your Committee of Safety. It's the key page for this whole process, introduction to the Committee of Safety. And this page is a synopsis of NLA's comprehensive plan to save our republic. You want the whole plan? It's very simple. You go and you download the handbook, which is in PDF form. I think it's 73 pages or something like that, PDF. That handbook is called the County Committee of Safety Handbook. And that's a step-by-step, blow-by-blow, point-by-point, exactly what to do, all the things necessary, how to proceed, what to do when, where you can get, and there's plenty of tools and different things that we've put together. This kind of leads you down through, it's a synopsis of the handbook and really leads you to the handbook itself. And here's the Committee of Safety Organizing Instructional PDFs documents. So a lot of the information is right in here. And we have it in a couple of ways to get to this, but also back underneath here, let's see what else we have here. Become a jury administrator. Find your committee of county committee of safety. If there's not one up there, well, create one. Let's get it going. Handbooks and tools, that's probably one of the most important pages because this is where all of the tools and handbooks are. We have the PDFs, which is the handbooks, the different handbooks. We have the militia codes, rules, and resolutions. We have recall petitions, which we may have to upgrade that. Petitions are something I'm working on, and this is the only place I think we kind of have anything. I have to go look to see if that really works with people that are outside of political parties. And we'll talk about the conclusion of the political party. In order to take over the committee of political parties and rid ourselves of political parties, we have to leave the political parties. I know I'm a Republican. I was a Republican from the very beginning. When I first went out to vote, I was very young, and I wanted to know, what should I be, a Democrat or a Republican? I didn't know. And when I looked into it, nobody seemed to have the answer. It was pretty sad when I look back and think about that. And still the truth today, I think. Today they see these are the conservatives and these are the liberals. And, our founding fathers were liberals because they were in opposition to the way things were of their day. And they really were libertarians, if you want to call them that, I guess. They created the Constitution, were common law. I became a Republican because I understood the meaning of the word and what a republic was. My knowledge was not there yet, and not for many, many more years to come, but the basic idea or the thought. And so I've remained a Republican for the sole purpose of being able to vote in the primaries and that kind of stuff. I'm giving that up, though. There are some states you can go and vote in the primaries, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or nothing, okay? And that's the way it should be. And we'll take that to court. That's another thing we'll take to court and pursue. But meanwhile, in order to do what we have to do, if you don't belong to a political party, you can walk anybody's petition to put anybody on to the ballot. Okay, that's an important thing to understand. If you're a Republican, you can only walk Republicans' papers. If you're a Democrat, you can only walk Democrats' papers, and so on to all the other fractured parties that are out there. But if you don't belong to any party, you can walk anybody's petition. The only difference is they want you to notarize it. What's the big deal? You know, you go in a notary when you get all your paperwork together, and you know, yeah, I swore I walked these and did this to that, and these are true signatures, blah, 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 and that's that. No big deal. The only other way, and we need to be able to walk papers. If we're going to build committees of safety and take over the political process and put people onto the ballot, good people, whether they belong to a party or not, if they belong to a party, we'll walk their papers, but they have to agree. As soon as they get elected, leave the party. Become one of the people. Let's get outside this process. And we'll start taking over the committee men by, you know, wooing them over to us, because over here we're free, over there you're enslaved. And we'll show them that, and they will come. I do believe that we'll always get maybe a small percentage that will think we're crazy, but majority of them, I think, we'll see. And I speak out of a little bit of experience here from being involved somewhat in that political process with working through the political parties. So the point is I think within a year we can destroy the political parties. Not only that, we're going to do a paper because political parties, private associations, private political parties, as long as they're focusing in on a political party, is unlawful. It's unlawful. They removed the clause, it was called the Washington Clause, that no association shall be deemed a political party. And these are private associations. They're pretty much corporations, even though they're associations, and I think there's a close connection there. Even trusts to some degree, they are somewhat like being incorporated, unless you do a common law trust. But anyway, political parties are private associations, and they are unlawful. Doesn't matter that they removed the clause that Washington had noted in his farewell speech, and they codified that into the law here in New York particularly. I don't know if it's codified anywhere else, but remember, the law in New York State is a law anywhere. Same thing in any other state, the same thing, the same authority, power, or liberty that you have is the same. You know, you can exercise it no matter where you are in the United States. And what makes it a true law is its logic. It's obvious. It's a maxim. You can't argue against it. So we can make a case to get rid of political parties and shut them down. Remember, they're privately owned. They've got private money. They have party bosses control the whole political process. They get all the criminals in. Nobody can get an edge in any other way here or there. Of course, we can by developing committees of safety and take over the process. All right, well, anyway, enough of that. That's a discussion for a whole, program. So anyway, we have lots of stuff up here. So the PDFs, and we have some of it in words because we know, for instance, the Committee of Safety Charter is something that you're going to build upon. It's only the framework, okay? And the framework is a necessity to maintain that framework. So we're interchangeable, interlockable from county to county, from state to state. We're all on the same page. But we all have our own unique problems and situations. I think as people read through this, they will see quite clearly this is all just common sense stuff. It's a good framework, a good thing to spring off of and work forward from. And people will put in the necessary things they need to put in. Every county is different, so we all have different problems and situations and whatever the case may be. Same thing with resolutions, same thing, framework. Now, Committee of Safety Organization organizing instructional PDF documents. We have huge amounts of information here that'll assist you, things to be discussed. You can take any of these particular subject matters and discuss it on your meetings, because you should have something up for discussion every time you come together once a month, and in the beginning, maybe more than once a month until you get things started and get the sheriff up online. We have also some of those documents are in Word. We have, some handbooks. Let's see. I'm not sure what this is. This may be an old one. Yeah, this is an old one. I got to pull that down. This presentation should be good, but this handbook is old. We have a newer one up in this section, so I'll have to take that one down. We have PowerPoint videos that could be downloaded for your meetings. And again, subjects to discuss, okay? Law and equity, that's something that you should come together on. Watch the video. It's 28 minutes
video
long.
Number four
and,
in a series of educational
you can
videos.
Play it offline like this, or you can download it. Download any of these things. You click on right click, and you click on Save Link As. And when you save that onto into a file somewhere, you're saving, in this case, I believe, the WMVs. I think they're all WMVs, window videos. So anyway, lots of information there. Let's see. We'll get handbooks, tools. Find your district leaders. Okay. Important to make connection with your district leader if you are creating committees of safety. We have 10 of them, 10 district leaders. We've broken up the United States into 10 parts. Okay. And so we have district leaders for each one of these areas. They will assist you in giving you information and contacts within your state. Okay, lots of people within your state give you the contacts where you can make the connection. Not only to start the committees of safety in your county, you'll get people next door to your county. You can invite them over and get them involved, get them enticed, and then help them start one in their county next door or across the state, whatever. Some of us will be traveling our states trying to encourage counties across our state to get committees of safety going. I know of two other people that are doing that. Myself is one of the three of them, actually four of them, because Gerard and I. So we'll be working together to do that. But anyway, they can give you information, answer some questions that you may not know the answers to, or they'll find the answers for you if they don't know. They're sort of the contact, the connection here with us at National Liberty Alliance. So anybody starting a committee of safety should contact your district leader. And you can find their phone numbers, their names and phone numbers right here on this page. Okay. Make contact with them, and they'll assist you in any way possible. Also, we do have a, maybe I should go over here first real quickly, if it's here, I think. No, it should be under here. We have, where did I put that? Okay, I'll have to put it, I should be under here, but I think it's in a couple other places, where we have a link that you can click on. Probably should be under a couple places, and I can't find it right now, but I'll get it up here. I'll put it under the Welcome tab, and I'll put it under the Committee of Safety tab. Maybe it's under directory. Maybe I should put it under the directory, too. All right. I don't see it. I'm going to put it under three. Starting tomorrow at 7:15 Eastern Standard Time, Gerard and myself are going to be here in this room here, a Monday night room. We're going to be here for 1 hour, no more than 1 hour. It's going to be an open forum. No planned program, just answering questions, people with questions, comments, corrections, anything of that nature, concerning committees of safety only. We're not meeting for any other purpose. So we're just meeting to answer people's questions that are starting committees of safety. How do I start a committee of safety? Or this, I saw this, I read this, and they said, what do I do here? And you know, whatever question they have, okay, that's what we're going to endeavor to answer. So every Tuesday from 7:15 to 8:15 Eastern Standard Time, we will have that 1 hour open forum. Like I said, Gerard and I, myself, will be here. Sometimes I may just be here, and maybe sometimes Gerard might just be here, but we'll be here to answer questions. And we really need to spark up, all of these committees of safety. And we need to be able to answer questions and direct people to the proper place on our website where they can get the information they're seeking. And assist them in any way we can. But it's, again, for 1 hour, and that's all we're going to do is 1 hour, and if we run out of time, then we'll pick it up the next Tuesday. We'll go a few minutes over time if we have to, but we're not going to spend 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour beyond the hour. So, okay, anyway, I'll get that underneath here. I'm surprised. I know I put it up here. I'm pretty sure I put it here. Take another quick look. Yeah, I don't see it here. All right. Anyway, lots of other things. Find your district leaders, admins, committees of safety, submissions. That's a private page. Most people don't see that. County militia, the several states, there's the militia rules and the Minutemen. The Republic Review. What is the Republic Review? It's some short videos explaining it. Everybody should be involved. Committees of safety should get focused in on this Republic Review. Christianity in America, pretty much we have that in a couple places here. We put it under here and we put it under education, I believe. And the vow, and then we have more. Under more, maybe this is where it's at. We have the charter, the resolution, register to vote. If you're not registered to vote, register. And again, we strongly are going to start teaching and suggesting people when they register to vote, if they haven't registered, don't join a political party. Be free. Let's get rid of political parties. And that's the beginning of the process, taking that step. And if you belong to a political party, let's get rid of it. This year I'm going to remove myself from the Republican Party so that I can walk anyone's papers and I could do anything. We can put people who are not on any political party on the ballot. We can put people who are on the Republican or Democrat parties onto the ballot. Okay, so it's much more powerful. Ultimately, you can't vote in the primaries, but that's okay. Some states you can, and we'll change that law eventually. And I think that could be changed rather quickly once we get going. We may be able to do it before the next coming election in 2022. Restoring constitutional sheriff, virtual office, setting up a phone system. Every committee of safety should definitely set up a phone system. And this is a virtual office. It's a follow-me phone system. You can pass the phones on to other people. It gets forwarded over to individuals. It's got a nice backboard there where, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a back office, and you can you can have numerous people, almost unlimited people, answering the phone. And what you could do is one person can answer a phone certain days and certain hours. I mean, it's very flexible on any kind of things. You can set it up for going to the answer machine after a certain time or on weekends or whatever. You can have it go to one person. If that person doesn't pick up, another person will roll over to another person and so on. I mean, there's so many different ways you can set that up. But that's very important because once we get involved, we want the people of the county to make contact. And we will set up a board on our website with all of sort of a phone book to find your committee of safety phone number. So once we get moving with that, we'll set that kind of a page up where people can get that information, make direct contact. Anyway, a lot of other things here. Founding fathers and political parties, the county sheriff, America is dying, Robert Rules. Okay, I'm not going to go on to too much more. Welcome stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you want to go in here. We've got disclaimers. Frequently asked questions. Not much on there. Again, if anybody would like to volunteer, we have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of audio. And we also have transcriptions of that audio. Let me take a real quick thing here. If anybody would like to work with us to spend... What am I doing here? How did I get on this? Oh, okay, here it is. Anybody who work with us, underneath all these audios, okay, these are all audios, all open forums, and tremendous amounts of information. But we had someone, and I believe we still have someone, who is doing transcripts on our days. Nope, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. This is the lyrics. Okay, right here. For instance, the grand jury opens up with Microsoft Word. Let's see. And, this is transcripts of our calls. I don't know how deep or how long they go, but basically what we'd like to do is kind of cut things out of here, Q&A, and put that information in some kind of a form that's easy to find here on our frequently asked questions. Now, we do have some frequently asked question audios. I'm not sure when or some of these, maybe they were just special meetings or something, an hour long or whatever. I'd like to put under here, Q&A, a question ask and answer given, question ask, answer given, put in some kind of a logical order and followed by an alphabetical order within the categories. Anyway, if you'd like to volunteer to help us with that, again, let us know at mail@nationallibertyalliance.org or get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org, and you'll get connected to the right people, and we'll kind of get groups together to work on different programs and different things that need to be done. I think I think that's all I'm going to go through today. Spent more time than I thought I was going to. Anyway, I'd like to try to do something, if I can, in 5 or 10 minutes, just to give a brief outline or a brief synopsis to lead people through. Not as long as I just did today, but at least through those two important tabs, education and start a committee of safety. All right, with that, we're going to move on. Do we have any questions, or before we take questions, do we have any announcements?
Yes, we have all of the questions from last week and the week before.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
First question. In the year 1949, four African-American men were falsely accused of raping the
country. Can you hold on 1 second? Okay. I just got to walk across the room. I'm on a headset and can't get over there, but I just want to get something to drink. Hang on.
Dead airspace.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, starting over. In the year 1949, four African American men were falsely accused of raping a Caucasian female on the side of the road in Florida. They were tortured and coerced into a confession. Life and death sentences were given. Two of them were shot by the elected sheriff himself. One of them died. They are known as the Groveland Four. There was no due process of law, no sufficient evidence to convict them. Yet they were convicted and given sentences in the court of law. Why is it that it took 70 years, 72 years actually, for justice? Could it be because of the Jim Crow law and or because of their ethnicity, which wouldn't allow them due process of the law embedded in the Constitution? If it took this long for due process for a false criminal charge, where do we stand?
Well, we're in jeopardy. You know, look, if you really want to trace the blame down, it goes right back to the justices of our courts. They're to blame for this whole thing. Because back in, 1934 is when the Rules Enabling Act came to be. And in 1938, it took effect by creating the rules. It was said that the United States Supreme Court created the rules. We know the Bar Association created it, and they just all agreed to it. And maybe they had some hand in it, I don't know, but basically, bottom line, it was a bar document. And what it did is it took equity and law, fused it together, and called it civil law. Now, the dirty secret is we had been under civil law for a lot longer than just 1948. So we've been under civil law going all the way back, probably at the turn of the century, coming into the 20th century. You know, Congress had already been taken over. We had all of those unlawful acts taking place in the early part of the century. We had the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment. We had the Federal Reserve Act. I mean, all of these things that were really pumping through. And they were all framework and built in order to be framed within the framework of the Organic Act of 1878, I think it was, somewhere around that, 1878, I think. So that's where really a lot of the bad legislation had started. I'm sure there was some before that, but that's where it really got destructive. And at that point, by the turn of the century, they had control of our legislators. The courts were being corrupted. We were having some good rulings here or there, but a lot of bad stuff. The federal judiciary was corrupted. The states were being corrupted. So by the time you got into the 1940s, in the 20th century here, we were already destroyed. And remember, it's important for them to put black against white and to put Christian against Jew or against atheist or whatever. You know, they just need to create factions, parties. Mm-hmm. That's what our founding fathers spoke about. They called them factions, okay? Political parties are factions. And it's one side against the other. Keep them busy. Keep them arguing. Keep them fighting. Get them frustrated. Make no conclusion, no solution. Fight for power, one against the other, trying to get more, you know, authority over the other authority. Keeping them. Meanwhile, we're being taken over. You see, there's no resistance because they've created chaos. And that's what that was all about. This whole thing, this black and white thing, is all a creation of the New World Order, ultimately. It started to, it goes all the way back to the colonies, corrupting the colonies, and creating confusion, and mostly in order to destroy, our Christian ethics and our common law, which again is Christian-based. It's all part of the process to destroy we as a people. And again, it goes all the way back into, goes back to actually, I think in the late 1600s, I'm not sure when slavery came to the colonies, and in 1750 is when the Bar Association was born in the colonies, created by the king. So it's a big, ugly plan. It's a conspiracy without the theory, because it's a fact. You know, they love to call, when you talk about a conspiracy, you put the word theory there. It's gotten to the point when you say it's a conspiracy, everybody's thinking you're saying conspiracy theory, because they planted that into our brains. They created the problems. You know, you go to other countries, you don't have that black and white problem that we had. I don't think we see it as a major problem in the United States anymore. Not at all. I don't see it anywhere, anywhere I am. And, you know, maybe you go back 50, 60 years ago or 40 years ago, you know, maybe it was a lot worse, but today I don't see it as much. But you go over to England, or you go over to Scotland, they don't see each other as black and white. I spent some time in Scotland, and it's just different relationship there. It's a much, you know, they didn't have that problem that, I guess, slavery, really, because slavery was not legal over there in those areas, by the way. They wouldn't allow slavery in Britain, but they were the importers and exporters, shall I say, of slavery. So, anyway, that's the only answer I have. Yeah, we have a problem. We get to the other side, that problem will be solved. Due process for all. All right, next question.
Okay, I live in Westchester County in New York, and my apartment building is imposing a mask mandate and threatening us with lawyers if we don't comply. And I've sent them emails that there's no executive order in New York State and the definition of a mandate. I've tried to call my county executive and the Housing Co-op Association, and they say I have to comply.
Yeah,
what
joke.
Legal doctrine or resources can I read and inform myself?
Well, look at this.
Come after me for non-compliance.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, if you have a issue with a medical issue, and it could be just about anything, and it doesn't even really refer to a medical issue. It just refers to the ability of being intolerable. So if you cannot tolerate a mask, okay, I cannot breathe with one of those masks. I really can't. I mean, I could put it on for 5 minutes, but that's about it. I can't breathe in that thing, and I'm not going to breathe in it. As a matter of fact, I recently got thrown out of a bookstore because they were back here in New York, they're trying to put it back into effect. As this person from Westchester County is talking about. But if you go back to the order, okay, get a copy of the order. I have one right here on my desk from the original order that went out from Cuomo. I don't know if this crazy lady did another one and if it's worded the same way or something, on this, it's called an executive order, okay? That's a big joke, okay, an executive order. See, the problem is they fuse law and equity, so now they claim that it applies that the governor can order you as an individual to do something. That's not possible under our natural law republic.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
I don't think she wrote it down at all because she understands that it's unconstitutional and she can't enforce it. And so she said, I'm going to leave it to the businesses to enforce.
Oh, well, then sue the business. Good.
Well, that's right. And the businesses, we just won. They just a Supreme Court ruling in California where the school board wanted to mandate vaccines for anybody going into the kindergarten. And the Supreme Court judge out there said, you don't have the authority. He said, first of all, it has to be a law. It has to come from the legislator. And even that would have to be constitutional, but he struck it down based on the fact there's no standing there for a school board to do that. They don't have that power. So,
well, let me ask you: can you get a copy of that decision? Is that a written decision? Can you get? Well,
yeah, it's a written decision. Even though it's in California, we could use it here.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Drop it in my box. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that decision. Anybody else has any other decisions like this, or any other knowledge of any decisions like this? Shall I say? See what you can do about finding out where and getting the documents, or at least getting the information to us, and maybe we could try to get the documents and send that information to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll gather some information. We'll put a page together, and we'll put it under today's issues, and we'll put it there, something with the mask, you know, unlawful something or something with the masks, and we'll put all of whatever we can find that you can use as an argument. As a matter of fact, we might even write it up in a paper that all you have to do is just personalize the paper and file it in the court. And sue them. Sue them. Get some money as much as you can. And a wherefore clause is very important. So we'll write a paper. We'll stick it up there. People can download the paper and just personalize it. It may take a little while to get to a couple of weeks, but we'll get up there. Yeah, Gerard.
The other thing you got to be aware of is, I don't remember if this guy was in the military or he was working for some corporation, and he put in for exemptions to wearing masks, and it came back in a couple hours, and they said, all your exemptions have been denied. So he emailed back, and he said, well, okay, that's fine. Is this the address I use to file my lawsuit? What's the name and who do I file it with, and where do I send it? Do I send it back to you? 2 hours later, they sent him a note. They said, all your exemptions have been approved. So they're bluffing. They're bluffing. You have to take it right to the end, because that's what they're doing. Mm. Same thing with the mandatory shots. They cannot require you to take an experimental vaccine because it's unconstitutional. It's under the Nuremberg Code. They know it. But they got everybody so bullshitted that they think that it's a mandate, it's this, it's that. They don't even know. Look at Black's Law Dictionary definition of a mandate. It says it's a request from an agency that the agent do something, and it doesn't become binding unless the requestee agrees to it. That's
right. Well, they have to be in an agency. Again, we don't belong to an agency,
I'm
so we don't agree to nothing.
They have to. Well, I don't know if they said agency, but you know what I mean.
That is exactly what it means, though. You see, the executive, he rules, okay, the government and individuals in all of the different agencies within our government. He is the top administrator, and so he can order these people to do anything, and they have to comply. They don't have a choice, and if they don't comply, they'll be brought up into charges in an administrative court, and they can be fined or something. Inside that administrative court, there could be some legislation that could give them, it's not really a fine that they apply, that the court applies, but it's just part of the penalty. Or it could be that they be maybe terminated, or maybe given a month off without pay, or whatever it is. They can, make decisions of that nature in administrative court, but only against agents that work in agencies, people who are employed by government agencies, but has nothing to do with the people. They can't command the people to do squat. Nothing.
Well, I think they go with the all caps name and the corporation, and that's how they pull people in.
Yeah.
They just assume that you're that person that, you know.
Well, we will lay the paperwork out properly for a case to make it. It will make it the natural law argument, the constitutional argument, the decision argument, whatever decisions we can get, and also the paper itself, at least here in New York, where it says, and let me read this, effective 8 p.m. on Friday, April 17, 2020, any individual who is over the age of 2 and key part, and able to medically tolerate a face covering shall be required to cover their nose and mouth with a mask or cloth face covering when in public places and unable to maintain or when whatever and so on and so forth, maintaining social distance. So again, if you know, they did use the word medically. If you're not getting enough oxygen, Okay, and a lot of people, especially when you get older, we're not getting enough oxygen, and especially if we're not exercising enough and so on and so forth, or if you have emphysema or a slight case of emphysema or some other pulmonary problem, and even a heart problem, you know, because when you move too much, all of a sudden you're not getting enough oxygen again, then you don't have to wear that mask. And if you make it known to them and they deny you services, there's a U.S. code and there's a New York code. The U.S. code is USC 2000A, discrimination in places of public accommodation, right of full enjoyment of goods and services. Okay, so you can sue them under that, and you also can sue them being in New York, but no, you could do it in any state anyway. CBR subsection 40C, discrimination for disability or harassment. So if you have a disability, you can't tolerate a medical mask, and they're denying you service or a place to live in this case. Again, I'm going to bring all this together. And, hold on 1 minute. Let me just finish at one point. We'll do an addendum. I'll write a paper where you can just personalize it, and then another paper with the medical issue into it. So that'll make it a little more stronger. Not everybody can use the medical issue. But if you do find that you can't breathe with a mask on, you should go to your doctor and have them test you for see how much oxygen intake and the difference with a mask and not a mask, and see if you can get some kind of test. If you can show that there is a problem there, at least you've got a medical thing there. But anyway, go ahead, Gerard.
I have a paper that was just written by a senior fellow at Johns Hopkins about masks and what they do. And what he says is, not only are they bad for adults, they're worse for kids, because kids need more oxygen because their brain cells are forming.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. And they require more. And he says when you wear a mask, there's no that it's proven through studies that you're cutting your oxygen down by, he gives the percentages, and he says long-term it causes brain damage. He said in the beginning you may feel dizzy, you may get headaches. He said, but eventually those symptoms disappear because you get used to them. And people don't mind them. And he said, no pun intended, they're losing their mind. That's why they don't mind them. You know. So it's not just old people and people with emphysema. Even young people are very sensitive to oxygen deprivation, because the hypothalamus in a little kid can't go, you know, if it gets deprived of oxygen for 3 minutes, it starts dying immediately. So kids is another big, big one that they should not be wearing masks. Anyway,
that's a good point. This is probably true for anyone that you get deprived of oxygen, with wearing these things. I wonder if there are any studies on that. I mean, we do know
there's plenty of studies. They just ignore them.
Hmm.
Back during the Spanish flu pandemic, they made a mandate on masks, and they've documented it. That the cases of Spanish flu infection went up like something like 1,600% when they mandated masks. They know this from back in.
So they're putting you in risk, higher
in
risk.
1,600.
So if we can get a paper on that too, any evidence that anybody can dig up these things that we're talking about, send it to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. Make sure you attach the documents. Gerard, if you got anything on these papers.
I'll give you that Johns Hopkins paper. I have that. I used that on PSP.
Yeah. Okay, drop it in my Skype, and I'll get both of those papers. So.
Yep.
Good. So we will do that. We'll make a paper on masks. We'll do an A and a B, one within medical and one without medical. Maybe we'll find a way to do it both ways, because if we can make the point that by depriving yourself of O2, of oxygen in general, is a problem, okay? And it's even worse, of course, if you have a particular pulmonary problem. So we'll make that paper, we'll put it up there, we'll put all the documents up there, people will be able to download it and use it accordingly. But we are working on a lot of other stuff. I'll try to make this the priority. I have to finish this website before I do anything, and I'm seeing myself working on this through New Year's. I mean, I just don't see any way to get away from this, because I have a lot more video to put up. I got a couple more pages to do. I have to finish off. I got two courses to upload, which we've got one of them completed, ready to upload. The other one's almost completed to be uploaded. That's the foundational study. And then, of course, the other, which is the administrative, the jury administrative course. And I failed to mention this before, I think. I might have mentioned it last week. In order to become a jury administrator, you must be certified. Okay? National Liberty Alliance will certify you, and it's the process of taking all of our courses and completing them and participating. People who are doing that, those are the people we will certify. We'll create a document that actually, I was talking with Francine about that earlier. I don't know whether we want to create a document. I'm trying to think how we would do this. I mean, we could do something where people can download the certification and have a paper. If we want to do a document, like something you'd frame and put on a wall or something, it'd be a thicker parchment paper. It would have seal and everything on it, which is what I'd like to do. Problem is I don't have anyone to do it for me, and it takes I was thinking it out today. Every time I make one of these certifications, hang on, let me find my mouse here. If you go underneath the courses here, you get a certificate of completion. Anybody who wants a certificate of completion of any of these courses, and we've had a few people wanting these, maybe 100 or so, 200, and we asked for a $25 donation, and this is what the certificate looks like, okay? And with the certificate, in order to create the certificate, it's on a thick paper, and it is pretty much like that. And so to go through the process of taking the information, creating the certificate, getting the mailing information, putting it onto the envelope, making the copies off of the color machine, inserting it and getting ready to go to mail, takes about 10 minutes, okay, for each one of these certificates. Maybe we can get it down to 8, but 10 minutes. So if I got 100 of these things, that's too many minutes I don't have to do. So I'm going to have to figure something out. We do have time. We're not ready for certifications yet because people have to get through the courses. And I'll talk with our tech and see if there's a way we can really kind of produce these right off of the website. And what we have to do is click the approval button and it goes out. The big problem is you'd have to take it down to Staples to have it run off onto a nice thick paper. Maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know. Maybe a regular certified plain paper that we, again, getting into the mail, and it takes time, and we don't have anybody paid here. Everybody's volunteer. I mean, I don't have a secretary or anything, so I do the secretarial work. So anyway, we'll figure that out. Okay, let's move on.
Just one more factoid for people to put in their pipe so they have it in their weapon. It's a known fact that the mask that people are wearing, even the N95, only filters down to like 80 microns, and your viruses are like 1 micron. So again, right there, there's no common sense to wearing a mask. It's like putting a chain link fence up to keep mosquitoes out. And it really is. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this stuff.
Do we have documentation on that too?
Yeah, I have an article somewhere. I'll dig it out. It might even be in that John Hopkins one. I don't know. But I know there's a separate one that we're studying.
Right. This is some good stuff that you could pull together, take them to court. Look, it's a slam dunk in the court, but, of course, the judge would probably be crooked. No good. But that's okay. You take them to court anyway. You sue the heck out of them, and you demand a trial by jury. And again, this is something people need to learn. That's why you have to study what's on the website. On our website, you learn how to file papers. Everything is there. Okay. Let's see.
And the reason it goes on so long is because nobody's suing.
Yeah.
And lawyers won't take it on because they're afraid. So if everybody did this themselves, they'd stop in a week. They wouldn't be able to take the lawsuits.
All right. Here, court forms and processes. Okay. This is a page you're not going to see unless you're a premier member, okay? And a premier member is someone who's given a donation of $5 a month or more. And there are three things on our website you don't have access unless you're a premier member. One of them is the government by consent course, okay? The other one is going to be the jury administrator's course, and this page here with all the court forms and processes. So you got to be willing to give up a cup of coffee and a donut once a month, and you have access to all those things. And you're also supporting NLA and the effort of what we're doing, keeping the lights on. But we have a lot of tools here. If you look through instructions, forms to challenge jurisdiction, instruction forms to move your case for cause, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, move court for enforcement, notice and demands, other downloads of papers and information. Of course, we have Black's Law here also, and so on. We have memorandums of law that could be used, landmark Supreme Court cases. Now, in here we do have, let me see if it's in here. Oh, yeah, court procedure book. I'm not really thrilled with this book, but it's good enough, okay? One day I'm going to literally write a book, pretty much a couple of hundred pages. This is 189 pages on common law and court procedure, okay? And I established, put this together, a lot of this from taking the course. What was the name of that course we took, Gerard?
Jurisdictionary,
okay? Take the jurisdictionary course cost us about $300, okay? So it's probably pretty much the same thing. Just put jurisdictionary in your Google or jurisdictionary.com maybe, and you'll find it. We may have a link here somewhere. But you can go take that course. It's taught by a lawyer, so you're going to get lawyer stuff. But it's the procedure you're interested in. The guy sounds like a nice guy. He seems to sound like he wants common law, but he doesn't understand it. And he holds positions that the courts don't really hold up anymore, but maybe to lawyers, if they allow them to make that position, they'll hold it up. I don't know. But anyway, nevertheless, it's got bar BS in it. Okay, you just ignore the bar BS. You just want the procedure and process. But you can probably find most of the procedure and process right here in this booklet. Okay, and again, when I get the time, I'm going to update this book and maybe literally write an actual book on this and put it out into the marketplace and then make this available. So this is available right now, and I will update it as time goes on. But it gives you a really good introduction. It gives you a layout, procedures and forms and different things that you need to get into the court. So go through it. It's not a perfect document. I really need... I've done this a while back. There's a lot of things I'd like to, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's things I need to update, correct, and change. You know, as you grow, you find errors, and you try to correct those errors, patch the dam up and stuff, you know. But anyway, that's available for anybody who would like it. Okay, where are we? Back on questions?
Next question. How do we fight the fake laws of child support? So many people have lost everything or almost everything, and they have put people in jail or take away their driver's licenses if they can't afford to pay. Our government has no right to get into family business, nor the states, according to our Constitution. I believe, yes, all parents should take care of their children. What steps can people take to protect themselves?
Yeah, put them all in jail. You know, it's really, really, really disgusting when you think about it. They take away your driver's license so that they can put you in jail if you drive without a license. So if you don't drive without a license, you can't get to work. And if you can't get to work, you can't pay child support. And whenever things were originally, proceeded upon when it all went into the court system, it's a presumption that you're making that kind of money whether you're working or not, and if you don't pay, they're putting you in jail. So all it is just a process to put you in jail. That's all it is. And they're just putting up barriers to help prevent you from paying is really what it's all about. Besides that, every time you pay, I have a friend who's gone through this process who's given his ex more than... clothes, toys, I mean, just lots of stuff. He's the father, loves his kid. And he's only got minimum time to be with his child. But in any event, he also pays his ex-wife a certain amount of money, and he pays it directly. He refuses to give it to the state, to give it to her. And they don't like that. And the reason they don't like that is because every dollar they collect, they get another dollar, whatever, a percentage of a dollar, whatever, by the government. So they're making money on this thing. It's a money game. So even though he's given his money to his ex, he can show all the checks and given. They're taking him to court anyway. The wife isn't taking him to the court, but the court is taking him to court. You know, again, the whole process is just nothing but corruption. Family court must go. It must cease to exist. There's no reason to have it. Okay, absolutely no reason to have it. The court system should set up an arbitration process to help people work through the process. Okay, and if there's really a serious problem, they could take it into a jury court, let the people decide. We don't need no judge to decide anything for we the people. But generally speaking, you know, the process of a true arbitrational process without all the legal mumbo-jumbo, without all of the lawyers, without the judges, just an arbitrational thing. It's almost like therapy to fix the problems. That's what the court should supply, nothing more. And the people that are running these things should not be judges. They should be not, they should not be political animals in any way. They should be people with a background in what would you call it, social... what would you call that? Background in psychology, maybe, or something, but social something.
Sociology,
social workers, whatever. But people who really are there with a focus on repairing the family, repairing the problems. And if a family can't be brought together to work something out that works. But not to take children away, not to threaten people, not to put them in jail, not to do this, that, or the other thing. Now, it is true if a person is not paying for the support that's necessary, then again, bring them to the jury. Go to the grand jury. Let these people come to the grand jury. Maybe the grand jury could settle it, and they'll just say, okay, we'll do it, because if not, we're sending you into court, and the jury will decide for you. You know, there's a process there. Even the administrators could take part in this thing. The jury administrators, the people who are becoming jury administrators, they could be partners of this thing, because when it comes to that point, they can try to help settle it and say, look, if we're not going to be able to settle this, we're going to send it to the grand jury, and maybe they'll take a look at it. And if they can't settle it with you, they're going to send you into the jury. You're going to go to court, and this is what's going to happen. That is the it's called due process. Before you could take a person's money, you have to give them due process, and there's nothing, no situation that could bypass that, including this situation. It cannot bypass it. We can make it faster, because everything should be faster. It's slow because they want it to be slow, because they want to milk the system. They're lawyers. They're milking the whole thing, you know? But we could fix it. There's a solution. Right now, there isn't. We'll get to the other side, hopefully soon. Next question.
IRS taxes on businesses, sales taxes, late fees. I make my own products out of the earth. How does IRS have a right, or even just not having to pay? According to our Constitution, we don't have to pay taxes. How do you fight something like this correctly?
That's very, very interesting, because when you really dig down deep into the IRS under USC 26, you'll always find connected to it rocket fuel, diesel, gasoline. I mean, anything involved with that kind of stuff is where the taxes are applied, okay? And I'm sure there's a commercial reason for that. And ultimately, those things, those commercial taxes, are really applied outside of the IRS anyway. So the IRS has nothing on it. The IRS has got to go. They're going to go. It's just a look. It's a tool of attack upon we the people. We're at war. Okay, we're casualties of war, and that's the problem. But we got to get it fixed. It'll be fixed on the other side. I know Trump is looking to get rid of it totally. I mean, anybody that believes in a natural law republic, or you know, it got to go. It's not lawful. So that'll disappear soon. Taxes on corporations, which shouldn't go to the IRS. There should be an internal thing on that. I don't know how that would work out. The legislators have to figure that out, because taxes are part of the process on commercial activities. But they shouldn't be raping the corporations the way they do. But it is the corporations that drive, or should be driving, most of the energy, the sort of money energy that moves the government. But we don't need that much government, so we really shouldn't need as much money as they've been getting. Besides that, all the money that goes to the IRS hasn't really been going anywhere to help the people. I'm sure some of it is going to certain programs, but most of it is funding the New World Order's agenda. You know, it's paying for people to come from South America and busing them up here, flying them in, giving them place to live, giving them medical coverage. That's where the money's going, okay? And a thousand other things like that, all right? So we have to, that's all going to be gone when you get to the other side, so that much money is not going to be needed. Income tax on persons is just unlawful. It's written in the Constitution, no direct tax. You can't have a direct tax. And the only way they can have a direct tax is upon the head, by the head count, okay? And that is only applied against the state. The state has to pay that tax, so they have to figure a way to make money. Usually it's sales tax, to be able to put that money in to say, okay, they want $5 for every person in New York State, and there's 20 million people in New York State, so 20 million times, five, we'll make it easy, $10, $20. So it's $20 million we got to give. Where are we going to get $20 million? Well, you could find a place where they have to tax lawfully. They'll raise the sales tax by up an eighth of a percent or something, eighth of 1%, and they'll get more than what they need. Now, of course, right now, sales tax here in New York, and probably all the counties, I guess, it's 8.5, I think, percent, which is ridiculous. It's too high. It may be 1 or 2%. But they want money because they're thieves and they're crooked and they're sticking people's filling their pockets with money. They're paying for the New World Order agenda. Some of this money is going back, of course, to the feds for that purpose. It's just a mess. And again, we get to the other side, it becomes lawful again. It's going to be, you're not even going to realize you're being taxed. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on now. So the solution will only come at the other side. And again, it's part of the agenda. I know that we'll be following up on if it's not taken care of, but I do know that those things are going to be taken care of. But next question.
Hey, John?
Yeah?
Just a factoid. I believe that the personal income tax doesn't...
You're very low, Gerard.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my mic. How's that? Is that better?
Better, yeah.
Personal income tax doesn't go for any infrastructure. It goes for interest on the debt. Corporate income tax...
Yeah, in other words, it means it goes into their pockets.
That's right. It goes into their pockets, right. And the corporate income tax funds the military budget. That's the way it's broken down. So everybody thinks you're paying income tax, you're getting roads, you're getting... No. It's interest on the debt. So that's their play money. So however they break it down. Just thought that was a good, interesting fact.
Okay. All right, next question.
I would like to know if a common pleas judge throws out a case and it's appealed to a higher court, and the higher court reverses the decision that was made, does the lower court have the right to order a mediation between the two parties?
No.
When the mediation is not even in the courthouse?
First of all, mediation cannot be ordered by anyone. They can't order a mediation. It can only be offered to you, okay? And if both parties don't agree, any one of the two parties, or three or four, any one of the parties rejects it, not interested, that's it. It's dead. Dead on arrival. So,
okay.
No.
Next question. What exactly is all of the money that's donated to NLA used for?
Well, money is used for numerous things, of course, to pay the bills. We got a lot of bills going on. It also subsidizes me because this is what I do for a living. I'm not making a zillion dollars on it, trust me. We get we live off $5 a month, people who are giving $5 a month. That's where most of the income comes in. And we don't really have that many people giving $5 a month, but we do have enough people giving $5 a month that we're in the black. We're not in the red anymore. And we have a service we pay our technicians, a technical service. We pay for broadband. We pay for a place for the website to be, so it's, I think we have 200 gigs right now. We're up to 200 gigs we purchase every month. We have to pay for that. We have on the credit card system, we also have to pay a percentage every time. $5, we get a little piece of percentage off of that is paid for. Of course, internet access, we have different kinds of programs that just cost money to keep things going. And again, it subsidizes me. I'm on limited income. I've given up my business to do this. I've exhausted all of my funds into this. I've been doing this for a long time, going way back to the Ron Paul movement. I started investing my monies into building the website and doing different things. And I'm no longer working. I've exhausted all of my... most of my savings, although I do have certain things put away that I don't touch. And I'll never touch that until the time comes. It's mostly for my family, for my demise, and my family has something to continue on. So that's where it goes. It does fund me. Our intention at some point is to get enough funding to hire people. We need a staff of paid people. We have about, I don't know, Jen, would you say 20 people that are active on a national level that are really involved in coming to meetings and doing things?
Maybe a little less even.
Okay. All those people need to be paid, but they don't get paid. They're all volunteering their time, and we need more people. Okay, we need people who are willing to volunteer their time. But when we get to a certain point, because when a committee of safety is created and the process is set up for the courts, the political process and the judicial process, and the jury administrators are put in place, well, there's going to have to be a necessity for a web page for each one of these different individuals. But we can collectively put it together under one, which it should be under one umbrella, where people can come and get all the information by just putting in their zip code. They get their committees of safety, access, phone numbers, everything they need, where to report a problem, how to deal with a problem with an individual that is, you know, a bureaucrat, or they'll want to vote for who's up for being voted, what vacancies, political vacancies are available in this next voting term, and who's running, and who's on the ballot, who's trying to be put on the ballot, and you know, we have to get people to give us the maybe a 500-word paper on why they want to be voted in as something. We need to, of course, through the committees of safety, you know, ask them questions and interview them to see if we're willing to put them on the ballot. But anyway, we need to get information, who these people are that are running for a particular office, what's their position, their thoughts, are they constitutional? You know, all of these things, and we need to really create a much more integrated website, a much, much more integrated website that we need to build from scratch. And that itself has probably cost us maybe a couple of $100,000 to do that. Now, we don't have those kind of funds. But once we start moving into the process of establishing, again, all of the, particularly working through the court systems, you know, there's going to be a lot more money coming in. And we should hope that the committees of safety, the people in the committees of safety will be given, you know, their $5 a month. And that would really pump us up. If we had, we've got almost 10,000 members. If all 10,000 members were to give $5 a month, I mean, that's $50,000 a year, I mean, a month. That's a huge amount of money. And, of course, that kind of money would, of course, be paying for salaries and different things, and a much more robust website. I mean, just there's huge amounts of things. A lot more paper writing can be done. We can get staffs going. I can get a secretary. We can get an office. Right now, we live off the widow's mite. So if you're looking to think that I or someone else here at National Liberty Alliance is you know, living off the fat of the lamb, I'd like to know about it myself because I'm not experiencing it. Next question.
Yeah, there's several here similar, and this one isn't too well informed, but it says, regardless of whether or not we all should and probably can afford to donate $5 a month to NLA, why is this paid membership required to access the NLA training material? As such, it ceases to be a donation in support of NLA and becomes a paid subscription for access to these materials.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, you know, because I volunteered my life, my time, 13 years of research to put together this website. You think these papers just came upon themselves? I mean, and just appeared? I mean, you go, I spend day and night, literally, I wake up in the morning, I'm at my desk, and I'm on my desk until I can't go no further, and I go to sleep. I used to be able to do this till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting a little older, so, I mean, I'm not lasting that long no more. But just what's under here, just take a look under the federal court cases that are filed here. Just look at the books that were written, the research, the courses that were made. This was, I created all this. I this is my time. This is my investment. I have a right to earn off of that to begin with. And I'm not here to earn. I'm here to... Freely have I been given, and freely have I give. Okay, we didn't start charging or requesting or requiring, so give us $5 a month and we'll give you access to this area. How many years ago did we start doing that? Does anybody remember? Maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, if that? I don't even think it was that long. if that.
And, so, and I mean, we had to put John in a headlock and beat him up to get him to start charging for stuff.
Yeah, really.
He was giving everything away, and we were suffering, dying. John, you got to make money someplace.
So anyway, look at all these papers that were written. Where do you think this comes from? You think this, that person who writes this, I don't think they're thinking clearly, because people have a right to earn off of what their fruits of their labor, okay? And again, I'm not here to get rich. I don't have no big fat paycheck, okay? I live a very meager, I have a nice home that I've been living in for 20 plus years, 22, 23 years. So even before I was here, it's the same home that I've lived in, and I live the same as I did before, with a lot less money because I was a contractor, but I survive. But look at, when the money comes in, there'll be a lot of people that'll be getting paid, and they'll deserve to be paid. The people that are working right now, they're not working full time. Well, there are some people, there's a few of us that are working full time. I know there are certain people on this national level, I can get on the phone and they're always there. They're always in front of their computer doing something, working something, or whatever. They're available, okay? And they don't get paid because we can't afford to pay them. I think you should give us $5 a month or more, just like everyone else should be doing, so that we can pay those people too, because they deserve it as much as I do or anyone else. But if we decide not to collect any money, then I'm not going to be here full time because I'll have to go out and do something else. Because I make minimum, very minimum on Social Security. I'm retired, and the monies that I've had, my reserves have been exhausted. Like I said, on putting all this stuff together and maintaining it until I started to really try to get money to come in through the people who are participating, and being members and are benefiting from the education that we're offering and the opportunity to have government by consent. I cannot afford to continue doing this if I don't get some kind of compensation, some way to help pay my bills. And believe me, there is no fat check here. No fat check at all. All right, next question.
Okay, this is from a fellow in the United Kingdom. He says, how can we assist if we are in another country?
Well, you know what? If they're in another country, they can educate themselves like us, because when the time comes and America finally breaks free from these SOBs, the whole world is going to break free from these things, and they can become the leaders of their nation to make their countries natural law republics also. Okay? And we will assist them with all the knowledge and information we can possibly give them, in order to encourage and take control and have government by consent in their nations too. So educate yourself is the key thing. Look at, natural law is natural law. Our document, our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, is just a paper of undeniable truths, and it's one undeniable truth after another. You can apply truth to any nation. You can have the same kind of a document to be the foundation, because the Declaration of Independence is the foundation of our law. It is the foundation. It is a document to have a relationship with our Maker and receive the blessings of liberty to live under His law. Our Constitution, you can form a government like we have and push forward that kind of a government. And Bill of Rights, again, a series of undeniable truths. We have a right of free speech, freedom of religion, and so on, and right of due process. All these things belong to all mankind. So when America gets to where it gets to, because the weight of the world rests on America, and the people don't even realize it yet, but it rests on America. And when the New World Order goes down in America, it goes down around the whole world, because we have to snuff that whole rat out. We got to get rid of it all. And you know that is in play. So the opportunity will be there for those in other nations who want to learn how to have government by consent by seeing how we did it, and you can tweak it the way you want it, because you are we the people wherever you're at. So, study. Next question.
Is there an accurate estimate as to when all of the jury administrator required training will be available, and when will they become paid positions? I was a premier.
Start all over again. I'm sorry.
Is there an accurate estimate as to when all of the jury administrator required training will be available, and when will they become paid positions? I was a premier member for several years prior to stopping my donation back in 2017 due to employment / financial hardship, and we're still not offering the complete required training going into 2022. It could and probably has been viewed as simply an ongoing scheme to gain, retain, paid monthly income for something that will never actually happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, again, you know, let's get back to the contents on the website to some degree. Let me just finish off what I was looking at. I mean, just on this page, which right here, it took time to write all these things, the website to create, to pull all this information together, to create the all of the necessary courses, and to write the book, and to write a book on how to get into the court, and how to process and procedures work, and put together the forms, take an idea off of the forms, because the forms that the courts have, a lot of them are pretty good. We just got to tweak them, and I did tweak them into becoming common law forms so that they represent the law and not the equity, and so on and so forth. So with all that, that's that. Now, we have been producing, it was a blessing, ultimately, in my opinion, that the website went down a week or two ago. And actually, we've been having problems with it longer than that. We just wasn't aware of it. But in any event, I've spent the whole week rebuilding it. And it helped me to restructure everything together and bring everything back into order and a more sensible and logical flow to go through that process. And in return, of course, I've been working on two courses, and I believe these will be the final two courses that we'll need to complete the whole series of courses that we need for all of the things we're doing, okay? And to basically go into those courses, let me just get this page so I can look at this page as we talk a little bit about that. Okay, on this page, it basically lays out all the courses we'll have. We have the foundation course, okay? That is pretty much ready. I'm working on questions right now to put in together in that course, and then I'll be uploading. That'll probably take about 3 or 4 more days to get that done. The constitutional course will be opened back up. The civics course is already there and running. The government by consent course is already there and running. The militia course already there and running. Jury administrator course, I've completed that, ready to upload. It'll probably take a day or so to upload. That'll be uploaded soon, too. I'm hoping that by the beginning of the year, that all these courses will be up there, or everything will be working and tweaked a lot better than what it is, and I believe this will be the complete full, number of courses that we will need. I can't think of anything else that we really do need. Let me think about this. No, I can't think of anything else. So that'll be the final. It has taken time. This has been a roughly 14-year journey, okay? And you don't start a journey and you have everything and it's plastered and there it is and let's do it. You have to create it. It took years to create this stuff, years to put this together, years to formulate the strategy, years of research and pulling all this stuff together and putting it together in some kind of a form that we can digest in the books, the handbooks, the papers, the pages, and so on, and the videos, the PowerPoints. I mean, I have hundreds of PowerPoints that I've done, and a lot of them haven't even been put out there yet. Okay, I've been working on PowerPoints for a long time. I have to put voice to a lot of them, but they're done. Memorandums of law, we have about 30 or 40, maybe even more than that, memorandums of law. These are valuable tools for people to have to use in the courts. The memorandum of law makes a point on one point. You know, what is law? Memorandum of law, what is law? And then when you talk about law, you want to know what law is? It's right there. And see the memorandum of law, and then you make the conclusion in your paper, and you move on. You keep a nice, clean paper, and you get all this stuff. So all these things take time. And there are two things that have to happen. And believe me, it's been a race against the clock. And it gets stressful sometimes. And then I have to back off and say, hey, don't get stressed out. God's in charge, not me. So, hey, it'll get there when it gets there. Okay? If things go quicker, the big guy upstairs will make it go quicker. If it's going to go slower, maybe he doesn't want me to proceed so quickly. Because sometimes there's roadblocks.
okay, and I can't get past the roadblocks, and I work to get around them, and eventually the roadblocks are removed, and poof, we fly through. Okay, that's how I see it and view a lot of things that we got going here. And so, in any event, in that, I'm losing my train of thought here. Let me think a minute here. Okay, putting all this together. So now, you know, we are very close to that point. We hope that we're really close to get to the other side, because the key to this whole thing, we could be completed and ready to rock and roll right this minute, but can't move an inch until we get to the other side. And getting to the other side is when all these tyrants are arrested and put in jail. And then whatever remnant of tyrants are left that they didn't get because they escaped the law, we're going to get them when they refuse us our due process. We're going to take them down at that point, and the power of the people will stand, and the power of the grand jury will stand, and the power of the jury in the courts of law and under natural law will stand. Okay, and that's when it will not happen until that happens. And that could be next week or next month or next 2 or 3 months. I certainly hope it'll be this coming year. You know, I really do. It's hard time waiting, and it gets frustrating too. But, you know, we still have work to do. We don't have enough people educated to take these positions. Where are you? Where are you? What are you doing? How come you're not there? Get ready. Get all these courses. Yeah, there's 2 courses you haven't taken. The foundational course will be a slam dunk for anyone who's taken the other courses. I mean, it's going to be the simplest course you could take, because it's really just an introduction to common law and patriotism. And it's really all a lot of logical stuff, good videos to watch, powerful videos that will uplift you. And it's very simple to get through that course. I will tell you, I do believe that the jury administrator course is going to be a really tough course. Now, I will tell you that anyone can pass this if you have determination, because you just be determined to get past that chapter and to get it right and move on to the next chapter. And if you got determination, you will get through it. You know, this is not about remembering and knowing and becoming a dictionary to all of these things and to be able to spit them out, I mean, and be able to articulate this and that. It's not all about that, because, you know, very few of us have what they call a photographic memory. I don't have a photographic memory, but very few people do. But we all lack something, but it's the framework. It's the understanding of the whole that you build by, you know, going through these things and struggling through. And once you get through these things, you start to puzzle things together. Oh, that's how that happened. You start to have epiphanies. All of those things just work in the brain all on its own, and it comes on its own way. It just comes there, and eventually things just fall out of your mouth, and that's that. And that's what these courses are for, the purpose of, you know, introducing you to things and getting you to struggle a little bit to get the right answer on the question and looking it up the answer and putting it in and moving it on and going to the next step and getting it done. And when you get to the end, you will have a whole new, brand new mindset of the world. I truly believe you'll have, unless you've had it before, a whole good new mindset of God. A whole new sub-mindset of patriotism, of common law, an appreciation of our founding fathers, and all of the people that worked and gave their life and money and time to have other people, to give liberty to other people. Okay, you will achieve a different mindset when you get to the end. And this whole key thing, the whole key thing of going into a courtroom, or the whole key thing of having government by consent, the whole key is having a proper mindset. Not being able to, not necessarily being able to rattle off the things that you know are true, but you have a mindset. The availability for this position will be available to people when the time comes. And when the time comes, there'll be a lot of people who won't know what they're doing that'll be in these positions, and hopefully we'll be working under other individuals, and we'll give them, we have a handbook work we got working on, we'll give the handbook out, and people will have to follow a handbook, but they must get through the courses. And once that happens, you're going to have a limited time to get through that course. and the call will go out, and the positions will open, and people who haven't even heard about it all of a sudden hears about it and say, I'd like to take that position. And you could be in that position, you could be working and taking that course, and you'll, you know, lackadaisical or whatever, and this other person says, I'm going to get it, get these courses done, and they get the courses done for you. They're going to take your position, because we want certified people. We want people who understand what it means to come forward with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. I mean, people generally understand that. That's part of common law. It's innate, at least to those who aren't psychotic, but it's innate. Once you start thinking about it and focusing on it and taking that oath and taking it serious, it's innate. But the necessity of understanding the thing of a whole, the common law in a whole, to kind of get that mindset, that vision, that visual, to understand the political process as a whole, or the judiciary process as a whole, the procedures and you know, when you look at a form, they have all these forms for doing all different things, and this makes everything uniform. It makes sense to have that, but we can tweak them, and we do, to make sure that they're common lawish, so to speak. But it's ready to happen the moment we get to the other side. The question is, are you ready to happen? Have you taken the courses? Have you completed? And these next two courses, like I said, will be available soon. But I do want to say it took 12 to 13 years to get to this point. The courses are part of that plan. It's always been a part of that plan. But, you know, it was a step-by-step, baby step-by-baby step to get here. And we took those baby steps and eventually got our first course up there, which was I think it was the civics course was the first course we got up there. And then followed by the constitutional course and the militia course and the government by consent course and now the foundation course and the jury administrators course. So everybody should get educated, yeah.
I got a little story that fits into what you're talking about.
Go right ahead.
Because I've taken lots of
courses.
I need
to take a breath anyway.
Take a breath.
Need more oxygen.
No, I've taken a lot of seminars. I've got to
take my mask off.
Yeah, you've got a mask on, you'd be dead by now. You'd be doing CPR on you. But anyway, I had an instructor that was giving us, you know, a bunch of guys, technical guys in the automotive field, and he said, listen, you guys, he said, you're a labor factory. You have to get paid for your labor. He said, but more than that, he said, you got to be paid for your knowledge. And he told us a story. He told us about, he said, look, he says, I'm going to give you a scenario that drives the point home. He said, there was this guy, and he was producing whatever it was in a factory, had 100 people working. And he decided he was going to automate, and they had this machine that they came out with. It was the latest, greatest thing, and it would do the work of 100 men. So he decided he was going to get it. And so he saved his money up, and then he started feeling guilty, and he said to the salesman, he said, what am I going to do with these 100 people? I hate to fire them. He said, oh, no, you won't have to fire them, because you're going to produce so much more stuff. You're going to need them to package it and get them out there. He said, you'll need every guy, because this machine's going to outwork all of them. So he said, okay. So he buys the thing, and he used it for a year and a half flawlessly. He made all kinds of money. Everybody's busy. Everybody's happy. Then one day the machine goes, and it stops. And he tried everything to get it going. He called the local technicians. Nobody could get it going. So finally he calls the company, and they say, well, you got to go to the guy that invented the machine. We don't know that much about it. So he calls the guy that was basically the inventor of the machine. He says, well, I'll have to come down and do a service call. So he comes in, looks at the machine, starts it, listens to it with a stethoscope. And then he takes out a little tape measure and a calipers, and he draws lines, and he basically makes like a cross on the machine with a circle like a bullseye. And then he goes into his bag, and he pulls his big hammer out, and he swings it and hits it right on a bullseye. Bam! And the machine starts working again. And he goes, that'll be $2,000. And the guy says, $2,000? He says, I want an itemized bill. He said, that's no problem. So he gives him the bill. He says, hit machine with hammer, $2. Knowing where to hit the machine and how hard to swing it, $1,999, $98. So just to give you an idea, okay?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Knowledge is money. The people with the most knowledge are capable of making the most money. That is absolutely true. We just got to be careful that money doesn't take control over us. And that is key to everything. All right, next question.
I just said it does. When you don't have it, it shuts things down, so it takes control.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Jan, is there any more questions? I see Brent is here. So.
You kind of talked around this one and mentioned it, but I've had a lot of questions from people that on about the 15th of December started noticing a lot of problems with the website, pages not found, and so on and so forth. And this one person in particular wanted to find the course that taught you how to be your own lawyer, and was it produced by NLA or Jurisdictionary? I think.
Yeah, it was Jurisdictionary. So that was the key. Jurisdictionary was a very important course for us. I'm looking. Let me see if I can find that. I would imagine it would be under the educational law area where we come to court forms and process. I would think it might be here. Let me take a look. If the link is not here, I will put a link up here. Let me see if there's anything towards the bottom. No, I'll put a link up here. Gerard, can you see if you can see if jurisdictionary.com works, or .net, or .org, or if you can find that website? Let me know what it is, and I'll put it up on the board here. And what I will do is I will put that course availability here somewhere. And like I said, it costs about $300-$400, something like that. And if you go to take it through us. I think it's $350. That's what you're going to pay no matter where you go. But if you take it through us, because we've become a reseller for it, so it should be here somewhere, we get $50.
You have it in the margin, John, remember?
Yeah, you know what? That may be where it's at. Let's see.
Yeah, there's a little square there on the side of the page, and it says Jurisdictionary. I haven't looked for it.
Yeah, and it would be on every page then, yeah.
Yeah,
you're right. We'll have to move it up towards the front and also put it on two pages. So
I'm pretty sure it's there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. I think I did put it here. It's fallen all the way down low, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you keep adding stuff, and I think it keeps getting pushed down.
Yeah, so we'll have to push that one back up to the top.
There's Silver Lungs. I bought that.
Yeah, there's a common law handbook we used to sell. That's the other thing. You know, National Liberty Alliance will be making tons and tons of money off of handbooks because we'll be able to sell them for maybe 60 cents a piece or something like that, and we can have a mass produced, and every jury, every grand jury and trial jury, you know, they need tons of them in the courts. You know, they need the handbooks. They need a handbook that has the real law in it. So those will be a necessity, so that'll bring a lot of income into the National Liberty Alliance. And again, we'll be hiring people, and we'll be creating a much more robust website and so on. Okay, let me continue to look, because I'm sure it's here. National Notary Free. Goodness, I don't see it here. I will put it on here on the right-hand side of the website, which is where it should be because we are a reseller. I'll wait off until I'll do that tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So anytime at the end of the day tomorrow, let's say, you should be able to go out and find it. It'll be somewhere in this area here on the high side, and it'll be on this page here, Court Forms, Process, and Instructions. And the course, like I said, gave me a good insight and understanding of court procedure. And I got a lot of, I printed everything off, and I created books. I got a book about 4 inches thick, literally, maybe two books, maybe 2 inches thick, but, those three-ring binders. And I've got lots of stuff in there. Most of it I don't really need because it's really just BS. But inside, amongst that, is a lot of really good stuff and different forms and things you'd use in order to, put together a case and so on. So, anyway, we'll get it. That'll be our last question for now. We've got to move on to other things. Gerard, I want to pass the hammer over to you. And I think I saw Brent. Brent, are you here? Where's Brent? I saw him.
He was, but I think he left.
Brent, if you're here, give us a yell.
No, hey guys, I think he's
get jurisdictionary.com online.
But hopefully don't purchase it directly because you'll pay $350 and they'll get the full $350. We'd like to get 50 of that $350 and to help pay in for things cost here at National Liberty Alliance. So, okay, all right. Well, if anybody sees Brent in, let Gerard know. I'm going to pass things over to you. You got the board, Gerard? I'll be here in and out a bit, but.
Hang on, I've got to get my web page back up now. I'm all.
Do you want me to give up the sharing of the desktop? Do you want it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know that I'll be using
it. I don't know if you have time to poke around since I've been updating it. It's really, I think, coming in great shape, and I asked for comments from the leadership as they go through this to see if we need to find a better way to organize some of these things, and, you know, and there'll be new things going on here, too, as time goes on. So, but do you want the control of the desktop, too, or no?
I don't think I need it. If I do, I guess I'll wake you up.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we got a few people in the queue. I'm going to start off with the top one is Ross. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
I wanted to be volunteer to do research. So I have a hard time writing. My sentences are so not always coherent for people to understand what I'm saying on a piece of paper.
Okay, well, I kind of have trouble hearing you because your mic went down.
Yeah, Ross, go to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org, put your name and phone number there, and let it be known that you want to be on that research team, and we'll pull that information. We'll give you a call eventually. It might be after the holidays that we call the people that volunteer for this, so we'll give it a week or two. But we are. Right after the holidays, we want to get hot and heavy going into research. So name and number, tell them you want to be on the research team, and we'll get back to you on that. Go ahead, Ross.
I can do the research, but I can't do the writing piece.
No, you don't have to. All you have to do, if you get the research done and you find documents and information that we're looking for and you gather it together and download the whatever documents it is that we're looking for, and then that goes into other things. And I start to dig into it there and lay out the necessary facts of whatever the case is we're looking at using those documents and to create the necessary paperwork to file into the courts. That's what I do.
Okay.
So. Okay. But I appreciate that, Ross. Thank you.
I was thinking about, because I have researched Agenda 2030.
Agenda 2030, yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
That's UN's, yes.
All right, well, we'll have a meeting. We'll have a meeting once we get a number of people together, and like I said, it'll be a couple of weeks before we call you and get a meeting going. And then once we get to the meeting, we'll list out the different things we want to research and the priorities. There are certain priorities. We want people to work on this first, this second, this third, and other things, like you say, you know, we can do research in that area also, but it'll be prioritized. But whatever information you do have on a particular situation, we'll talk about that, and we'll probably at least gather that information into our, files and, have it on file until we get to the point where we start to really start researching more in that particular subject. Okay?
Okay. Eventually people will be paid for being researchers?
Oh, yeah. Look, we probably have, I got to believe we'll probably have about 20 or more paid positions, maybe 30 paid positions here at National Liberty Alliance. You know, it's hard to see the vision too far because there's so many things that are going to happen. There's going to be so many jobs created because of maybe books that have to be dealt with, handbooks that have to be delivered. Again, we've got all these handbooks that we don't want to put into actual handbook form. So every jurist, for instance, will have a pocket handbook, a jurist pocket handbook. And all of the handbooks we have, we'll have them available in pocket handbooks also, so that people, you'll be able to download it always be able to download it for free, okay? But if you want the pocket handbook, it might cost you 65 or 80 cents, maybe a dollar, maybe even less. And again, we get to the real side of things, it might only cost 3 cents because the dollar value needs, you know, everything's inflated. So just to give an example, when I was well, let's go back into the beginning of the turning of the century. It was for an ounce of gold was 19 plus. So it was 20 silver dollars was 1 ounce of gold. Okay. Today, an ounce of gold is what, $1,600? Okay. A dollar is supposed to be equal to a silver dollar. Of course, it isn't, but it's all inflation. So that's the relationship. Okay. I've told the story many times, and this is no joke. Anybody that was born in the 50s or earlier, early 50s and earlier, they know this to be true. You know, you'd go to the movie theater, your mother would give you 60, 70 cents. Maybe if I remember, it was 60 or 65 cents, a couple of quarters, a dime, and a nickel. You'd literally go, you'd get into the movies, what was it, 10 cents or something to get into the matinee. You'd be there from 10 o'clock in the morning till like 2 in the afternoon, just watching cartoons, and then the main program, you know, main movie, usually two movies and a bunch of cartoons. It was the matinee, and you'd get your popcorn, you'd get your soda, you'd have some candy, and you'd still leave with a nickel and a dime in your pocket to be able to buy a soda down at the candy store or something later on when you play stickball or whatever in the schoolyard. And I mean, 60 cents took you a long way, you know. Today, 60 cents doesn't buy much of anything. You know, they have the dollar store. When I was a kid, it was the 5 and 10 cent store. Today, it's the dollar store. And the dollar store doesn't work anymore now, I understand. They got to move that, change that. Maybe it'll be the $5 and $10 store.
Yeah, and you get high fructose syrup in your soda, too.
Yep. Got to go back to the old days when you got cocaine in it, huh?
I swear, yeah. Candy corn tastes better when I was a kid than it does today. I know it did.
Yeah, that's the kid factor in
there. I think it was real sugar,
also,
that's why.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Ross.
Okay. Also, the United Nations is a threat to United States sovereignty, too. We need to get rid of that.
Well, the United Nations is going to be totally destroyed when the New World Order is removed because it is it's an animal of the New World Order. When the New World Order is gone, that thing will just collapse. But yes, if we have to, we will have to deal with it. But I don't think they're going to all be in jail. People running that thing will be in jail. That or at the end of a short rope.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Yeah, again, anybody who wants to help on the research team or even on the, you know, taking let me go here to the page to see. Goodness, I can't think of the trans.
Transcribing?
Transcripts, okay. Transcripts is what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Taking the transcripts and creating a Q&A out of transcripts. Anybody would like to do that, we really can use some help on that. So, but we can use help on a lot of other things. We need help, you know, with, you know, on the directors, for instance. Let me see, hang on a minute. Under directory, the district leaders, okay? We need more help as district leaders. I think we're actually, Jen, do we have, it looks like we got 10 district leaders right now, don't we? I know you were taking a position on that temporarily to fill a position until we got someone. Did we get that 10th person? Oh, no. Jan is still in here. Here it is. District
you got two. It by putting me in there, John.
Yeah, I did you a terrible, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do need someone for district leader, too. And you don't have to live in any district to be a district leader. You just need to. Those are the states should be responsible for helping people out. And district leader, too, covers California, Nevada, and Hawaii. So, anyway, we need a district leader. We need lots of people to help, so volunteer. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, Willie, you are unmuted. Which state?
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening.
Okay, All right.
What state are you in?
Florida.
Okay.
Hillsborough County.
What's your question?
My question is this. I'm looking on the page, and I see all these other states have numbers on them, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and so on. My question is, those numbers, I don't see anything for the state of Florida. As far as district leaders or anything like that.
Well, that would be District 10. District 10 covers Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida.
Okay.
And District 10 would be Jeff, and his phone number is there. You can call Jeff, and he'll assist you in any way he can. If they're all in the learning process, just like all of us are, so
right.
If they don't have the answers to some things, they will get back to you, and it'll go up the line, and eventually, if it has to, it'll come up to Gerard or me for an answer if they don't have it down below. But the key thing, what they can give you is they can give you the list of the first name, the county, and the phone number of everyone in your state that's a member of NLA. And but we will not give it to anybody unless they've signed up. Only the people who have signed up as someone that's going to start a committee of safety. So, for instance, if you go under, start a committee of safety, and you come down to find your county committee of safety, you click on that button there. So you come down here and you check your state. In your case, it is Florida. So let's see if we can find Florida here. Here's Florida. So let me open up Florida. In Florida, we have 789 members. There are 67 counties. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people have signed up in order to start a committee of safety in their county. So if your county is not listed there, you can then sign up as the leader there, put your name and number there. I think we can have more than one person, too, for the same county, but you guys got to be working together. But probably should be just one. I'm looking for the sign-up here. Jen, it's been so long since I even looked at it. Do you remember how people sign up for this to become the committee? Let me see if it's in here. Find, should be
no,
instructions.
I moved from where it was.
Okay, Committee of Safety submissions. That's private page. It should be on this page. Oh, I know where it is. I think it's in your account.
My account, yeah.
Yeah, if you click on my account, you'll see a box to be checked to be a COS leader or whatever we call it. It looks like we call them leader, but it's the Committee of Safety. If you check that box, then the phone number that you gave and your first name and your county will be put here. We don't give emails because people will come in here try to just steal emails and just solicit people. And we really are person to person. We don't want to just be bombarding people with emails, doing this, doing that. No, we want to get connections, get things going, make things happen, be movers and shakers. Movers and shakers talk personally, face-to-face. In this case, of course, phone-to-phone, face-to-face, you know. But forget the email. Email is backup. It's, passing information to someone you're already communicating with on a phone. So,
hey,
anyway.
John?
Yes.
An easier place for them to do it is to go under the Start a Committee of Safety blue tab.
Where's that at?
Right in the middle, top right, the third one, there you go, and click that top button and just scroll down, and there's red flashing check marks. Scroll down just a bit. Yours isn't the same as my page.
Well, probably start here. It's a different page if that's it. Okay.
There you go.
Do you see?
Yep. Find or register. That'll bring you right back to where we were. Okay. Let's see. Okay, it doesn't. But you know what? I'll have to connect this to the... that's it. We didn't read the information above. That's the problem. Okay, we need to put this information... Well, this is the information right here. You go into My Account, you click on Edit, you contact information, you check the box, COS County Leader, click Save, and that's it. Okay, I'm going to talk to Carl to see if he can place that instruction. Let's go back to Florida. If he can place that instruction right above this, you know? I'll see if I can do it. I might be able to do that. If I can do it, I'll do it. If not, I'll be talking with Carl when he gets back from vacation, and he's going to help me upload the courses. I'll talk to him about getting access to put that information here. Maybe I can get it right here. I may have to go to each one, but there should be a place where it can happen in all the pages at the same time. So I don't know. So, all right. Anyway, that's how you do it. And we'll try to be more specific for other people who aren't hearing this, and so they'll find it easier. Click here. Just a button saying click here for instructions, and then give the instructions. Thank you, Francine.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, we have Brent Allen Winters, author of Excellence in the Common Law and of CommonLawyer.com. Go ahead, Brent.
Well, thanks. I just thought I'd hang out here until somebody decided they wanted to unmute me. And, this is Brent Allen Winters, CommonLawyer.com, www.CommonLawyer.com. And my comments are my own. And as always, I appreciate NLA. NLA allowing me to say a few words. I had a story that came to mind when John was talking about, somebody called in asking about child support and talking about the fellow that was giving the money straight to his wife and didn't want to give it to the courts or the system the court has set up. And I remember when all this happened, I mean, all this bureaucracy getting involved with child support. Of course, child support's always been hard to collect because of the deep-seated animosity that comes when people split up in their marriages, and there's no winning. There's no right solution in a situation like that. People just try to do the best they can and cobble it along. The courts, of course, get involved. But it came a time when, it's been 20 years ago or more, a lot of the states turned over all of the collection of child support to a bureaucracy. Some enterprising fellows saw a way to take some of that money, put it in their own pocket, since divorce is such a big deal in America, become a massive industry. And they said, well, if we can get a few dollars out of every child support payment in America, we'll be the wealthiest people on the planet. And so they formed this organization and offered the courts the service. In other words, you turn it over to us, we'll take care of keeping all the books and making it happen. It was someplace in Des Moines, Iowa. That's where it is, where I'm from, and I think a lot of states go through this central location, if not that one and some other ones. I didn't know much about it because I stayed away from family law, and we had a couple of lawyers at home got blown away with shotguns getting involved in people's marriages. You don't want to get between a man and a woman and then their children, figure into it. That's just downright dangerous. From my perspective, I suppose, there's somebody needs to do it. I don't want to do it, but I have done it. I have done it in some rare cases. Didn't like it, and I still try to avoid it. But had a fella call me. I might have mentioned this on these Monday night calls. He called me and asked him what his name was, and he told me, and I didn't know him. And it's a small county I live in. It seemed like I heard most of the family names. I hadn't heard that one. But apparently he'd moved in from another county. He was living in Cumberland County, and he's living in a trailer court someplace in that little tiny town of about 1,500 people, county seat, Cumberland County. And I said, well, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm working. I'm divorced from my wife, but I'm only getting a paycheck that has $7 to it every 2 weeks. I get $7 every 2 weeks. I said, do you have any other income? He said, no, I don't have any other. He said, this can't last much longer. I'm worse than eating bologna. I'm down to just eating, splitting a can of beans over a few days. And I said, well, where's all your money going? He said, it's going to my ex-wife, and it's being taken out of my paycheck, and there's nothing I can do about it. I said, well, can't you go into court? Well, he said, that's why I'm calling you. He said, I can't even go into court. I said, well, what can you do? He said, that's why I'm calling you. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I said, okay. So I said, I'll try to figure it out. So I went to my old friend, lawyer, had been around there 40 years, and I told him the problem. He said, well, good luck. He said, I've been looking for a place, a tribunal someplace that would handle that problem. You can't go into the courts anymore. They said they turned it over to this organization up in Des Moines, Iowa, and they handle all that. And if you don't pay your bill, or they just take all the money out of a man's paycheck, and he goes into court and says, well, the court says, well, this, we don't have jurisdiction over that anymore. We don't have the right to make that decision. And I said, well, where is the court that will handle it? He said, I don't know. He said, I've looked all over the state. So I took a day off and drove to the state capitol. He said, I think it's got to be up there. Now, this is a big state. If you drive to the state capitol, I mean, if you got a problem with child support and you need to adjust it because you're starving to death and you can't keep your job because you've lost so much weight and you don't have enough energy to even drive to work, much less buy gas for your pickup truck to get to work so you can pay for your child support, it's a bad problem. Well, I drove to the state capitol, so much for county courthouses being worth anything. Everything is becoming more centralized. And I kid you not, I drove from building to building to building in the downtown state capitol, all these buildings that the state government had rented all around the state capitol building, trying to find the tribunal, the place where I could put in a request to change. I can't believe I did this. I think back on the things that I did back then. I think at the time I just thought, well, I got to do it. Now I think this is so crazy that I have to drive to the state capitol, try to adjust some fella's child support payments so he wouldn't starve to death, only getting that's $3.50 a week he's getting, and a paycheck of a few hundred dollars every 2 weeks or a few thousand or whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. It was enough. He could have lived off of it, not starved to death. And no court, no county court around there had said they had jurisdiction. Well, I drove all over, took the whole day, I go to one office, they say, well, we don't think it's not here, but we think it could be over there. This went on all day long. I got the runaround. I never did find the place. I went back and reported to my friend, who an older guy, had been practicing law for so long. He said, well, that's what I figured you'd do, but I'm glad you went. Now we know even more. We know more that we don't know where it is. They're hiding it from us, hiding the tribunal. Yeah, so that's real, what's happening. With this thing called child support and alimony and all that, it's taken over. Then, like John said, you don't pay, they take your driver's license. You can't drive to work. Believe me, the people that do this don't give two hoots and a holler about children. The children are hurting here. They're hurting bad. Of course, mom and dad are hurting too. It's easy. I always tell people it's easy to live with a woman you hate or a man you hate, ladies. It's easier to live with somebody you hate than it is to get divorced and then think you're going to shuffle children back and forth and somebody's going to pay alimony. That doesn't work. Well, it's not working anymore. Maybe it did at one time. It's not now. I don't know what the answer is, but let me read something here. I had something I intended. I started to do this a long time ago. I wanted to talk a little bit about American history, and I got into talking about something that most all of you have heard about, but few people really know anything about. All of you have heard about it, but few people know anything about it because who takes time to really study up on stuff like this? But it's about our courts in America, our early courts, our Puritan courts in New England, and the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It's about trials that were held there. Trials that were held there and the common laws of evidence. The common law of evidence was ignored, and they're best known called the Salem Witchcraft Trials. Salem, 9 people, I think in all, if I remember right, 9 people were executed during the Salem Witchcraft Trials. And the whole world is appalled about what happened at Salem, Massachusetts during the witchcraft trials. And nobody ever says that at least 100,000 people were executed on the continent of Europe during that same time, 100,000 on record, probably a lot more, but at least 100,000 were executed by drowning, by being burned at the stake, for being witches and warlocks. At the behest of the order of the Pope of Rome, who had written a book called, translated into English, called The Mallet of Witches. It was a book intended to execute people that were accused of witchcraft, and it was called The Mallet. In other words, the hammer. Some people would translate it the hammer of witches, but the Latin word is sounds like mallet. The hammer of witches. And all of the methods that the hammer of witches has in that book, you can still buy it. It's written by somebody in Rome, and the priest signed off on it, and the Pope signed off on it. You can get that book, and you can learn. With that book, you can learn the methods of the evil empire to falsely prosecute people for crimes they did not commit. And the methods that that book sets forth, called The Hammer, that's called popularly The Hammer of Witches, but that book sets forth became and are still the fundamentals of the method of false prosecutions all over the world, even in America. U.S. attorneys use the same methods. I remember things like the simple things like this. The priest would be the judges. They'd bring the person that was accused of being a witch or a warlock, practicer of witchcraft, bring him in. And the priest would have a blank piece of paper held up in front of him. It had nothing written on it at all. But he'd hold it up. Of course, the person that came in to be questioned couldn't see that there was nothing written on the paper. Now, these are the methods that the Hammer of Witches promotes. And then the priest would look down at this blank piece of paper and he'd say, well, we've got a lot of evidence against you. Of course, they had none, right? But he'd act like he was saying things and reading it off of these papers. Then he'd take one paper and lay it down. He'd look like he was looking at another piece of paper. It'd be just as blank. And he'd look up over top of the paper at the person that they were trying to execute or wanted to accuse of witchcraft. And usually it'd be somebody that they politically were against. You know, that's what that boiled down to. Well, every ship that came from the old world, oh, by the way, over 100,000 on the continent of Europe were murdered that way, during at least about 300. A measly 300 were murdered in England during that same mania. It was a mania. So over 100,000 on the continent of Europe, about 300 in England. Why so much less? Because England was a common law country and the common law rules of evidence prevailed to a great degree there. And in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, nine persons. And every ship that came from Europe that brought news of the mania of the Hammer of Witches was awaited with great anticipation. And because of that mania, the ships that brought news and the merchandise and even people to New England brought the infection of that mania to that enclave that the Puritans had carved out in the wilderness of the New World. And it caught on. Let me read this. This was posted, and maybe some of you have been to Boston, to the Old North Church, which is the old Puritan's old church there, the main church. It's in the middle of a downtown area now that's just a little tiny building compared to all the buildings around it, you know, one of those kind of deals. And on the door of that old church, still there, that's the old church they hung the lantern in, you know, when they hung one lantern if by land and two if by sea, and on the opposite shore shall be a rider booted and spurred with heavy stride. Remember Paul Revere? He was looking across at the old North Church to see if there was one lantern in the belfry tower of the church, then he knew that the British troops would come by land, and if two, they come by sea, and once, and he saw two, and he leapt aboard his mighty steed, and took off across the countryside to warn the people that the British were coming. Well, Samuel Sewall, he nailed his confession, his part in the witchcraft trials. He nailed his confession to the door of that church for all to read. I'm going to read it to you here. It's not very long. But he wrote this, and he nailed it to the door of the church. He says, Samuel Sewall, sensible of the reiterated strokes of God upon himself and his family, and being sensible that as to the guilt contracted upon the opening of the late commission of Oyer and Terminer at Salem, Oyer and Terminer, that was their common law court, he is, upon many accounts, more concerned that than any that he knows of, desires to take the blame and shame of, and he asks pardon of men, especially desiring prayers that God, who has unlimited authority, would pardon that sin and all his other sins, personal and relative, and according to his infinite benignity and sovereignty, not visit the sin of himself or of any other upon himself or any of his, nor upon the land, but that he would powerfully defend him, God would powerfully defend him, against all temptations to sin for the future, and vouchsafed him the efficacious saving conduct of his word and his spirit. Now, that's a lot of fancy talk, but they used to talk back that way. Those Puritans were a wordy bunch. I've read their writings because that's the way English was written a couple of hundred years ago. What he's doing, he's acknowledging that his part in those trials, he was a judge, you see, and his part in those trials was evil. He got caught up in the mania. In the Salem witchcraft trials of 1692, by the way, I'm reading from the book, Excellence of the Common Law. There's a section here I have on the trials, and all, that the common law rules of evidence, that's why these occurred, because the common law rules of evidence were ignored. And we see that when we read the records of these trials. That was the sin of which he speaks here, ignoring the common law rules of evidence, of course, which are consonant with the Bible. Infringements into the new world of civil law doctrines, then raging amok in the old world. In the name of expediency, for about 9 months, Salem courts suspended common law protections of due process. Indeed, witchcraft trials is a misnomer. The prosecution of supposed witches in Salem occurred as the civil law reached its tentacles of inquisition, not trial, into New England through the weaknesses of girlish curiosity and longings for attention. Now catch that. The reason for the witchcraft trials at bottom came from girlish curiosity and girlish longings for attention, using pranks followed by fear and attempts to divert blame from themselves for the deadly consequences of their actions. Yes, a group of teenage girls is the reason for the witchcraft trials. This is a fascinating story, and it shows you how evil can creep into a man's life, a family, a community, through the silliness of such as these girls. It's uncanny when one stops to consider the despair and the death that occurred because of their girlish curiosity and lust for attention. Through the false religion, a recently arrived slave woman, the undiscerning weakness of young girls, and the doctrines of the law of the city, murder's spirit wormed its subversion into the enclave of God's people in the New World, in New England. Unlike on Europe's continent, where the law of the city dominated and raged, in the New World's Massachusetts Bay Plantation, the laws of nature and of nature's God held its steady sway, soon arresting the evil empire's suspension of common law due process, but not before its vicious rage worked its murder. On the false testimonies of and play-acting of a group of young girls that had learned of witches and witchcraft from Tabitha, a Barbadian slave woman recently arrived in the colony. I said nine. Now listen, I'm getting to what I'd written. It wasn't nine. It was 19 men and women were hanged. The Salem witchcraft tribunals ignored at least three common law rights: the presumption of innocence, objective evidence, and opportunity to cross-examine one's accusers. Yes, slavery existed and was alive in New England. Throughout European history, the use of images, icons, and incantations had encouraged devil worship. The Germanic tribes used the term witchcraft to signify such practices. Fear of witchcraft, as practiced among women, is among the reasons Rome has used to justify forbidding her priests to marry. And that's still true. The Roman priests are forbidden for us yet today to marry, to have children. Legally, they do it anyway, of course, always have. Has always been indispensable to her power. The Roman Church feared that once a priest married, the closeness with his wife would give her a deeper understanding of the powers of witchcraft, priestcraft, such as the conduct of the Mass and secrets of the confessional, allowing her to use the influence she enjoyed toward her husband to manipulate his use of these powers to her own cravings. Regarding Rome's fear of witchcraft, Rome did not always consider women inferior to men, but on the contrary, held a fear, albeit superstitious, but still nonetheless real, of a woman's power over men, the men of Rome's priesthood. These fears explain, in part, Rome's cruel inquisitional reaction during the 17th century, accusing and prosecuting hundreds of thousands of women and men for practicing witchcraft. During those days on the European continent, inquisitors did untold atrocities to those accused of witchcraft, and to a lesser degree in England. The inquisitions against suspected witches and warlocks on the continent, and even the witchcraft trials in New England, though much fewer, were far and away more vicious and undiscerning than were the Salem witchcraft trials. A touching of the New World by the mania then raging in Europe under the direction of Rome's inquisitors, following the methods of Rome's malus male facorum. Malus male facorum. That means hammer of witches. And this hammer of witches is a manual of civil canon law inquisitional methods and devices for sweating out and wringing evidence from suspected persons, whereby over 100,000 suspected of witchcraft were tortured and put to death on the continent of Europe. And in May of 1487, the Roman Church had first submitted the Latin text of Malus, the Hammer of Witches, to the University of Cologne. And the Hammer of Witches based its methods of inquisition upon the doctrine of the civil law that subsumed a nation's identity in its emperor. Thus, the civil law deems crimes to be personal offenses against the emperor. That's true of every country in the world. The emperor, the ruling body, whatever it may be, it's a personal thing. The civil law being enforced on the continent, prosecution for the crime of witchcraft was, therefore, conducted in true inquisitional spirit to avenge the suspect's sin against the emperor. And using the devices described in the Hammer of Witches, the Roman Church tribunals tortured and murdered both sexes in numbers unknown, though more women than men. And on the 5th of December, the year 1484, the Inquisition moved into full swing. Pope Innocent VIII printed in the front of the Hammer of Witches his papal bull of approval, directing its force, and I'm quoting, it said, to some parts of Upper Germany. Later, when that's Saxony, later when and I'm quoting again what it said in the front of that book, when the wicked and cruel Alexander VI was in the papal chair, he set, no, I'm reading, what am I quoting here? Oh, I'm quoting Charles Carleton Coffin, a book called Sweet Land of Liberty from 1881. He said this, when the wicked and cruel Alexander VI was in the papal chair, he set the inquisitors to work. In the Swiss canton of Vaud alone, over 3,000 accused of witchcraft were burned. They burnt, and I'm quoting here from Coffin, they burnt 600 poor old women in the bishopric of Bamberg, Germany, by the shore of Lake Geneva. In the year 1515, during 3 months, more than 500 were burnt to death. All through Spain, France, Germany, Holland, during these years, thousands of men and women were burnt. In the village of Lindheim in Germany, containing only 600 inhabitants, 30 of those inhabitants were put to death in 1 year. More than 100,000 were burnt. But due to the common law courts, the mania was less horrid in England than on the continent. In the southwest of Germany, between the years 1561 and 1670, the powers that be accused 3,229 men and women of witchcraft and executed them. And before reaching the American colonies, Rome's continental witch hunt spilled over into England. And in the year 1618, I'm quoting from Coffin again, 17 witches were condemned to death in Lancashire, England, 16 in Yarmouth, England, 15 in Chelmsford, England, and Matthew Hopkins was appointed England's witch finder. In a short time, over 100 persons, men and women, were hung. Whew! Salem's reaction, Salem, Massachusetts, though inexcusable, was by comparison an aberration to Salem's government. The continental inquisitors knew nothing of the common law rules of evidence. The English courts knew these rules but relaxed them, admitting arbitrary evidence of unestablished reliability, such as, watch this, the presence of warts, pimples, wins, and cysts, C-Y-S-T-S, infectious appearances on the body of a person were said to be the work of witches, you see. And that it was said in the courts that this is evidence of demonic activity. No common law authority says that such blemishes are evidence of witchcraft. Therefore, in England, Chief Justice Sir Matthew Hale, of which there is no hardly greater, presiding over many trials for witchcraft, tried to hold the court's consideration only to the evidence admissible under the rules of common law. And Justice Hale called the learned physician, Sir Thomas Brown, medical doctor, to give evidence or opinion evidence, that's expert opinion evidence, of the fits of one of those accused of witchcraft. Dr. Brown said this, the fits are natural, I'm quoting, the fits are natural, but heightened by the devil cooperating with the malice of the witches at whose instance he did the villainies. Wait a minute, testimony of the fits of the accused. No, yeah, Brown said that. Those accused often verified the stories of the accusers by confessing their league with the devil. And soon every ship from England arriving in Massachusetts brought fresh stories of witchcraft and accounts of hundreds, even thousands of witches in the old world being burned and hanged. Into this fragile enclave carved into the new world's wilderness, the Barbadian slave Tituba. It's hard for an English speaker to pronounce some of these words. Tituba arrived from Barbados. During the long winter evenings, the young girls of Salem gathered in the kitchen of Tituba's owner, Samuel Paris, and listened to her mysterious accounts of Barbados. Tituba showed them how her people used sorcery. These young girls, she's talking to young girls on long winter evenings, they gather in the warm kitchen, and she would tell them stories how they called up devils and imps. And Tituba then introduced Abigail Williams, age 11, Anne Putnam, age 12, Mary Walcott, age 17, Mary Lewis, age 17, Elizabeth Hubbard, age 18, Elizabeth Booth, age 18, and Susanna Sheldon, age 18, and Mary Warden and Sarah Churchill, two servant girls, introduced them to incantations and taught them how people in Barbados imitate animals while under spells of witchcraft. And these young girls practiced these imitations, taking giggling delight in creeping around like cats, dogs, hogs, meowing, barking, grunting, screeching, and pretending to have spasms. The girls, relishing the attention their antics drew, once they got the attention, carried their milder larks into the church services. Now, these are girls from Puritan families, and they're carrying this now into the church services. One girl, for instance, interrupted a sermon by claiming aloud that she saw a small, colorful bird perched upon the preacher's head. Though seeming mild and innocent, the girls were toying with danger. When questioned about their behavior in order to divert the blame, the girls thought it clever. Here's what happened. Now watch. The girls thought it clever to accuse women and later men, young and old, of tormenting them with witchcraft. Thus, the Salem, Massachusetts witchcraft trials arose out of confusion began by these girls' playful antics, excuses, which turned into hysterics and begun in girlish curiosity, gonorrhea, and fun, but ended in death and remorse. Called before the courts privately, the girls, by that time plumb hysterical, accused Sarah Osborne, Sarah Good, Martha Corey, Rebecca Nurse, and Sarah Good's daughter Dorcas of tormenting them through witchcraft, throwing the blame for their silliness on others. The girls later accused Sarah Close and Elizabeth Proctor in open court. "I saw companies of witches," testified Abigail Williams, "at the Reverend Mr. Parris's house. There were 40 of them," she said. She continued, "Sarah Close and Sarah Good were their deacons, and the witches drank blood." At hearing this, Sarah Close fainted to the floor. The accusing girls went into convulsions and spasms, and Mr. Parris' slave rolled on the floor, all claiming that witches were tormenting them. And the Barbadian, Tituba, when asked if the girls' accusations that she pinches them were true, she answered yes, thereby giving credence to the girls' testimonies. And Tituba further testified that the devil had come to her at night. Now, she's on the witness stand saying this, appearing as a hog, a black dog, a red cat, and a black cat, bidding her to serve him. Tituba then said that Sarah Osborne and Sarah Good asked her to torment the other girls. Now, she's getting a lot of attention by this time, too, see? And that she had gone to meet the devil. Watch this. She had gone to meet the devil riding on a stick with Sarah Osborne and Sarah Good riding behind her, and sometimes they went over above the trees and on to Boston, Massachusetts, from Salem. Cotton Mather, a well-known Puritan elder, recorded his perceptions of witchcraft in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. The written testimony of John Winthrop provides additional credible evidence concerning the Anne Hutchinson affair that will move any unbiased investigator to serious consideration of the truth of witchcraft. Governor Winthrop served as the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. His reputation for honesty is impeccable. His credibility as a witness is incontrovertible. Nevertheless, common law due process must never give way to the doctrines of Babylon, Inquisition, and vengeance. In later years, one of the hysterical girls, Ann Putman, having matured to womanhood, stood before the congregation of the church in Salem Village and humbly apologized and confessed for being an instrument of accusation of grievous crimes by several persons, whereby their lives were taken away. On the 14th of January, the year 1697, Samuel Sewall, one of the judges at the Salem witch trials, likewise responded to his part in the trials with Christian repentance, posting for public view in one document his confession to God and petition to men for their pardon. I read that at the beginning. During the Salem witchcraft trials, the Puritan clergy of Massachusetts counseled caution and restraint to the courts. Finally, pressure from the clergy ended the witchcraft trials. It were better, Cotton Mather had counseled the courts. Now, he was a Puritan clergyman. It were better that due process, I'm quoting, that due process be followed and 10 suspected witches should escape than that one innocent person should be condemned. Let me read that again. That's something that we should follow today. And by the way, it was said that Sir Thomas More said the same thing during the days of Henry VIII. But I think that this is more stabbing, the way he puts it. It is, he counseled the courts that it is better that due process be followed and 10 suspected witches should escape than that one innocent person should be condemned. Demanding the common law's right to trial by jury, presumption of innocence, rules of evidence, and right to cross-examine one's accusers will best protect the innocent during times of hysteria. That's my conclusion. During times of hysteria, we've reached those times. And isn't it something when we reach times of breakdown and hysteria and madness? But the first thing to go out the window is what we just call fundamental fairness and due process. The process that is due and owing to all concerned. I walked into a Trader Joe's this evening, and the sign on the door said, all entering these premises must wear a mask by order of the county health guru, or whatever they call him. That's not due process. The county health, whatever he is, official, has no authority to tell people they must wear a mask. Now, Trader Joe's, to their credit, didn't force it. But I was in Trader Joe's for about 30 minutes. I only saw two people there that didn't have a mask, that weren't diapered on their head. And I stopped and spoke to both of them. They were friendly. Nobody else was. Well, this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, and we're talking about the common law, the law of the land, which is due process. It's the way we do things, not what we do. And I thank the principals of NLA for letting me say a few words. I've kind of long-winded, but I wanted to get through that. I'd tried it before and never got it done. I wanted to read it on a Monday night. I've got it done, so I'm happy. Thank you, John. And Gerard, if you're still there, I'll turn it back to you. Well, Gerard's not there. Somebody tell me, am I still being heard?
Maybe Gerard fell asleep.
Okay, well, if Gerard, well, you know, Gerard works hard. He's trying to support his family, and he runs his own business, and I'll bet he works all day. Then he tries to do this on Monday nights, and it gets up toward midnight, and things start shutting down. So if that's the case, John's not there either. I'll say a few words and wrap it up, and if they don't get back before. But we're getting close to the top of the hour. Gerard, are you there? No. We're getting close to the top of the hour. We've only got a couple of minutes. And I don't have control of the board. So if someone had a comment or a question, or John wanted to entertain a question or two more, he's going to have to do it. I can't do it. If anybody...
Brent, I think you can just close the call because it's the top of the hour. And I don't see John or Gerard coming back. Both their mics are closed.
You're so lucky. Brent, you might as well sign them off. Time to go.
Okay, we'll end the call.